You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
TTN.
Fuck it. There's no words on
tomorrow.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
Fuck it. There's no words on
tomorrow.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Because I've never seen that.
Fucking thing sucks.
There's no words there.
I don't know.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're back, man, with episode 133.
2 week layoff, John.
2 weeks.
You went to AZ?
Yeah.
Then I went to Vegas. And we go out there, and what happens? The greatest audio clip ever comes out.
Ever.
We're listening to the remix of
the remix.
We'll get to the raw footage later.
Revolution, like musician, but revolution.
I got that, man.
Yeah, if you type in YouTube, revol, like R E V O L, and then ooh, U C I A N. R E V O L U C I A N. You'll get this guy's clip where he remixed the greatest Bill O'Reilly rant in the world.
That's the greatest rant in the world, not the greatest Bill O'Reilly rant.
Oh, greatest rant, period.
Period.
And we'll get to that later.
Because we've heard them all. We've heard Orson Welles. We've heard Shatner.
Yeah.
This is the best.
This is definitely up there.
Not only that, John, while we were on break, the world population passed 6 billion.
Whoa.
666,666,666.
Ooh.
How about that? Sign of the apocalypse?
Yeah,
maybe, huh?
Maybe. That's
also
right. You're listening to 24/7 Atheist Show with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. Also, the value of the dollar, John. The value of the U.S. dollar
is worth 1 ruble.
Is half of what it was when the W took office. That happened while we were gone.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great? Thanks, W.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
It's unbelievable.
Also, it came out that Roger Clemens, the was going to be a Hall of Fame picture.
Pitcher.
Picture. he was charged with steroids, but while we were gone, it came out that he had an affair with a 15-year-old.
Oh, no.
Oh, my word.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She's now a country singer. And they both say that, no, nothing inappropriate happened when I would spend the night with him when I was 15.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. Congress really goes after you. If you're on steroids, why don't they go after the W is what I want to know.
I don't know.
They go after Roger Clemens.
For steroids. But I don't know, the 15-year-old thing. Yeah. The rocket scientist.
The rocket. Yeah. Also.
Unbelievable. I got to get some more Knob Creek.
The other thing that happened while we were gone, Hillary is staying in the race, John. You know why?
She's waiting for
Obama to be assassinated.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
We got that clip, too.
Believable. So we got a lot of catching up to do, John.
I didn't get the Keith Olbermann rant. I don't know if you heard that, but that's out there on YouTube. It's about like an hour long. He just goes on. I think he even scared himself. He was going insane.
About what Hillary said?
Yeah. He just lost. I mean, he just went mental on her. Unbelievable. What is she thinking?
I don't know. You expect that kind of behavior and that kind of stupidity from Republicans, but not from Hillary. What's wrong with her? That's why egregious.
What was I thinking? I'm listening to your best of mix you put together, And I said, I would totally vote for John McCain.
I forgot to clip that out.
Was I drinking?
I wanted to clip that out. I don't know. That was a long time ago. That was
yeah,
2 years
was
ago.
4 years ago, wasn't it?
No, we've only been doing it for three. Going on three?
Going so on four.
Four?
Yeah, maybe we did it right after the W's inauguration.
I don't know. Maybe it was.
Year number five.
I tell you what, John, I'm straight talking trash all the way. That's my John McCain.
What's the Bushism of the day? We got some catching up to do here, don't we?
We do.
What is today?
The 25th?
25th. Well, this is what the W said on October 18th, 2000. Quotas are bad for America. It's not the way America is all about. It's not the way America is all about.
Oh, my God.
Quotas
so
are bad.
Stupid. And we'll get to some W clips later of his latest stupidity. It is unbelievable, John. All right, so now the first week we were gone, you went to AZ.
Yeah.
Any stories about good stories from AZ, Arizona?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was emailing. Yeah, I guess it's emailing. On Facebook with Mark Chiarello.
Uh-huh.
And
guy from Marvel, right?
No, you ass. DC.
I know.
Do you know
I'm
what DC Comics
shit.
Stands
DC
for?
DC Comics.
Do you know what it stands for?
DC? I do not.
Detective Comics.
Detective Comics Comics?
Detective Comics Comics. No.
You just said DC Comics.
It's right, but they said they shortened it to DC. Just call it DC.
Oh, you don't say DC Comics. You just say DC.
No, you say DC Comics.
Well, then it's Detective Comics Comics. Who came up with that? That's stupid.
No, it was originally Detective Comics, and then Batman appeared in 27, number 27. Hey, Mark, if you want to get me if you want to be really cool, you could get me one of those. They're only worth, about $100,000?
What's that?
The first Detective Batman Comics, one? Number 27.
That Batman showed up in?
Yep.
Nice.
I don't know what it is now. I think it was some years ago worth $100,000.
Whoa.
The Birth of Superman and Batman on DC, in DC Comics.
You know, he did do work for Marvel.
I know that.
That's why I probably got mixed up.
Oh,
that and
right.
Just seeing Iron Man probably did it.
Right.
Right.
I saw it again.
You saw Iron Man twice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it better the second time?
Yeah. I actually laughed more because after discussing it with you and picking up on the... Because the first time I'm with my wife and I wasn't laughing so much at his, how fucking cool he was. I was like, what a cocksucker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then after watching it with you, not with you, I mean after discussing it with you, I cracked up at that scene where he pops open the cooler after he blows up the Jericho.
Right, right.
And he says the bit about, for every 500, I don't know if I was digging in popcorn or something, when the first time that came out, so I really didn't get it, but I thought it was, okay. Second time around, laughed out loud.
Right on.
Because it was his delivery. When I paid attention to it, his delivery was just out of sight.
Guy's a great actor, man.
Yeah. Less than zero, man.
No.
Greatest movie of all time.
Well, maybe. I mean, if he was going for somebody that I would absolutely despise, he did his job well.
You didn't think he acted well in that movie?
I couldn't get over how goddamn whiny and pussy all them people were in that movie.
Oh, yeah. But that's the way they are. Don't you remember, I don't know if it was Chris Rock or Eddie Murphy or somebody was talking about, they were doing some rant about how here's a poor black kid walking down the street, and he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from, whining. And here's some rich kid that just, like, broke a fingernail. Oh, my God, my world is over. I just got this manicure. My mother's going to kill me. You know,
yeah.
And that one reality is is about survival, and the other one could possibly also be about survival, but they don't know any other way.
My daughter was pretty much been whining all day, on and off. And somebody made a comment. I think my in-laws came over. They were, well, they, I know they came over, but I think maybe one of them said, maybe it was my wife. I don't know. boy, it's a good thing she's not in China right
what,
now.
What is with you, man? You walk in, hey, that, I love that chair. When did you get that? I've had it for like 10 years. Where have you been?
Has it always been in the living room?
The same spot, except before we had the house.
I'm becoming aware.
Finally, after, why are you doing auditing with Scientology?
Yes, I'm starting my auditing program, and I'm becoming a superhero, like Tom Cruise.
I got an e-meter.
An e-meter?
Check you out with an e-meter.
No, forget that. All right, I got some stories, John, you know, because you went to AC.
Yeah.
And then you came back, and then when you came back, I went to Vegas, John. Vegas. So I'm out in Vegas.
To Germany.
And, I get a call from the wife, I think the second day I'm there. Our house was broken into.
What?
Yeah.
A house?
Our house.
No.
Was broken into.
You're lying.
I'm not.
Are you fucking... I told you not to fucking live on a corner. What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
I don't know what you told
me. I told you that years ago when you got that house. I said, you know, corner's the worst place to have a house.
Here's the deal. It happened on a Tuesday. We got a rot, we got a pit bull, and we got an alarm system. So the guy, I'm assuming it's a guy, who knows? I'll just say the guy. The guy walks in, just right through the back door, because it was left unlocked.
Oh.
The alarm goes off, so the alarm sends a message right to the cops. The cops show up, sends a message to my wife. My wife works like 5 minutes from home. She arrived shortly after the cops get there.
Wow.
And she says, hey, have you been in the house yet? And they said, no, all the doors are closed. And she said, what are you talking about? The back door's wide open. So the cops get there. They do a perimeter walk. All the doors are closed. The guy waits till they get to the front of the house, and he takes off out the back.
Oh, my God.
So we didn't.
He was there.
He was there. We didn't lose anything. Nothing was ransacked. Nothing like that. But just the fact that some motherfucker walked in my house, and the thing that really pisses me off.
You got to get a gun, dude.
Is if I hadn't gone to this conference, I would have been working home on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And this fucktard would have walked in on me.
No, he'd have seen your car there.
My car was there.
Oh, was? That's right.
So you remember Pulp Fiction when John Travolta's talking about his car?
Yeah.
And some guy keyed his car, and he's like, man, I would have just given anything just to be there when that motherfucker keyed my car.
Yeah.
Oh, I would give anything to be home when this fucking asshole walks in my fucking house.
And the dogs didn't fucking tear him apart?
Well, because we have this alarm with motion detection and shit, the rot is in the mudroom and the pit bull's in a crate.
Yeah, but that shouldn't matter. The alarm should ignore the dogs. I have one, too.
It does over a certain... If the dogs are under a certain size, but because our rod is so big, he'll trip the motion detector. But when the cops showed up, the rot's going crazy. They didn't want to go anywhere near the house.
Oh, man.
So I was so goddamn upset. And then I'm thinking, who did I tell? Did I mention it on here? I think we mentioned that I was not going to be here. So it could be a listener?
No.
I mentioned it people in my neighborhood.
How would they know where you live?
That's true. So it can't be a listener. I did mention it to people in my neighborhood, though.
Although I've given my address out.
On the podcast?
No. Through emails.
Oh, through emails. Right. No, I haven't done that.
Mark Chiarello knows where I live.
Oh, no doubt.
Come and break in and give me some more comics.
Yeah, you'll come home and there'll be another box of comics. That'd
nice.
Be cool, man. That'd be sweet.
Oh, dude, that is like, you feel like you were violated, don't you?
Well, I think it's a definite gender difference because I just want to fucking kill whoever it was. And, okay, so it happened, I'm not here, and I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
The wife was going insane. I almost came home early because she was so
She was a wreck, man. A wreck. I don't blame her.
Well, fortunately, her father-in-law is an ex-Cook County sheriff. He retired.
Yeah, so if you're listening.
So he picked up the kids, and he came home with her. So the cops did a walkthrough, but she had him do a walkthrough, make sure everything was cool. Boy, if that happens again.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that happened like early in the week. And then the next day, I guess the rot was barfing all over the house at 4 a.m. So that was a pain in the ass. And here I am in Vegas having a fucking great time.
Wow.
One of the best times ever, John. You know why?
Why?
Usually when I go out, the company that I work for, we do all custom work. We don't work with any vendors.
Right.
But we got hooked up with a company that is specific. All they do is work with vendors. They don't do any work in-house. Yeah. So we hooked up with them, and because all they do is work with vendors, all they want to do is take them out to dinner and show them a good time the whole week.
I know that. Yeah. I've been there, man.
I've never experienced that.
Golf.
We didn't
do any golf. Boxes.
It was just dinner and drinks and live bands.
Hookers.
Oh, no. None of that.
I'm just kidding.
Because they were all women. Vendors.
Oh.
But so one of the nights, I went with this guy that I really don't know too well. I work with him, but I got to know him in Vegas. He's one of these guys that he's been to Vegas. He knows what's going on. And if you need to know anything, he'll answer your question. If he doesn't know it, he'll find somebody who knows it, and he'll get you the answer in like 2 minutes. So
nice.
He's telling us we're staying at Mandalay Bay, and he's saying, "Oh, I got to take you guys up to the Foundation Room, and it's like a penthouse nightclub, but it's got all this cool shit in it. But you have to be a member, whatever that means,
right?
Or you have to get on the list. To get on the list, you have to gamble and lose like I don't know how many thousands
$10 million.
Of dollars,
yeah."
But he didn't have to do that. He got on the list somehow. So he's escorting us up to
a high roller.
This, he does know how to gamble. He knows that you need a lot of money to make money. So he's taking us up, and when we get there, we find out that there's a dress code, and I have shorts and sandals on, right? So I'm like, no, you guys go ahead.
That is your dress code.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. You need to see it. You need to see it. So, he gets us up there. He gets us by this guy, and there's a private elevator up to this club. So we get up to the club, and three different guys approach me. Hey, man, you can't be here. That we have a dress code. You got to leave. And he comes over, and he smooths everything over.
He's like, listen, cocksucker.
Yeah, I don't know what he said, but...
I'm one of the biggest drug dealers in the world. I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face.
I heard that he may have told them I was the CIO of Lamborghini. I don't know. But each three guys that asked me to leave, each one of them, came back to me later and apologized
to
me.
Dude, I am so sorry.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, he probably said you were like the president of Virgin Records.
I don't know what he said.
This guy is an extreme fighting champion. He's fucking UFC, man. He's ripped people's esophaguses out and used them for a straw. Don't fuck with him. Better yet, go apologize before he kills you.
Hey, do you know the UFC guys? Just fought this weekend. Bell? Does that sound familiar?
No.
He won?
Yeah.
Do you know
the
UFC guys?
Yeah, I've seen him.
All right, so another guy that I'm with, when we're up in the Foundation Room, I can't remember his name. I think his last name is Bell. He won this weekend in UFC, whatever the fuck. I don't follow it. But his brother, his twin brother, was in the Foundation Room.
Nice.
And he opened up to another guy that I was there with named Derek. Completely opened up to
him. What do you mean opened up?
Said he's gay.
Oh, I see. Came out of the closet.
He's gay. He came out of the closet.
He's gay.
He's like, I don't know why I'm telling you this.
But I'm gay. And you have a big dick.
And his family's pretty much ostracizing him. And how dare he come out right before his brother has this big title fight, which he just won yesterday or the day before. So we got to meet that guy. He's a photographer.
How dare he come out when his brother has a title fight in the most brutal fucking gladiator type violent.
I was wondering, are they brothers, but are they identical twins? You know what I'm saying, yeah. John?
Genetically?
And maybe that's why he has so much...
pent-up aggression.
Pent-up aggression? Who knows? I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Did you fucking say I was gay? I'm going to fucking kill you. You know what? I'm going to kick your ass and I'm going to bend over and stick my dick right in your ear.
So I had a great time in Vegas. I didn't have to expense really anything because it was picked up by these third-party vendors. It was just unbelievable, and the food was great, top-notch restaurants.
Did you go to Delmonico?
I did not.
Oh, dude.
Is that in Mandalay Bay?
No, it's in the Venetian.
We pretty much stayed in Mandalay Bay.
Where the wife stayed last year.
We did take a cab. We went to In-N-Out Burger, and we went to Fat Burger. Did you ever go to Fat Burger?
No.
Oh, it's really good. You can order a burger, and then you order what you want on it. An egg is one of the options.
Egg.
You got to get an egg, man. It's great.
A burger with an egg?
Well, I got cheese, egg, lettuce, and tomato.
Oh, egg. That sounds fucked up.
No, it's really good.
Chicken,
I recommend that to everybody.
Beef. Something's wrong.
No, I'm telling you. It was really, really good.
Well, what kind of egg? Is it like an over easy?
No, it's an over hard.
Over
hard. It's an over hard.
He said hard. An over hard on my... Can I have an over hard on my beef?
Yeah, it's an over hard.
With some cheese. Yeah. Put some bacon on there, too.
Might as well make it
a pork, beef, and chicken embryo sandwich.
But the problem is the conference that we went to sucked so badly.
I
don't want to go again. But if we go again and vendors are going to pick up the tab for everything, then I want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Also, I read two books on the airplane.
You did?
Yes, I read God Is Not Great. I think you got that for me, John.
Yeah.
I read that. I finished that. Have you read that yet?
Most of it.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I just thought it was repetitive after a while.
It was
like, I get it already,
right,
Dawkins.
Right. It was, this is Christopher Hitchens.
Oh,
God Is Not Great.
God Is Not Great.
Are we talking about the same book?
yeah, now we are. I thought you were talking about the Dawkins, the God Delusion. Sorry. I get mixed up with all these atheists. Atheists, 24/7 atheist show with John Scott. I'm John.
I liked it because each chapter was a thesis in itself. Here's how I'm going to come at a religion from this aspect. Now I'm going to come at it from this one. And it was a self-contained...
And I liked his little anecdotal stuff. And he wasn't too verbose. He was actually kind of funny.
I found some of it hard to read, but I did enjoy it.
But he had a little bit of anecdotal stuff in the beginning there about when he was coming up, and because all the schools in the UK are all religious.
Right. Which he went to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other book I read was called Uncertainty that my wife got me. And it's all about Heisenberg and quantum mechanics.
Nice.
And Einstein and Niels Bohr. And about how that theory came to be, and about sometimes their animosity towards each other. I cannot recommend it. I enjoyed it because I like that information, but I wouldn't recommend it to you.
I'm too dumb for it? Why don't you
it? You're not too dumb. It's just a little long-winded in some aspects. And
long in the tooth?
About three-quarters through, you get to the real meat of it when they start discussing the Einstein-Bohr. What would you call
it? I've heard of that guy before.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing they did really well is give these guys a personality, because I've heard of them as well, but he really gave them personality and other than just a name. And he also told you exactly how they contributed to this uncertainty, which is really more of a philosophy than a science. But I don't want to talk too much.
You don't
want to
bore us?
I don't want to Niels bore you anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about string theory instead.
All right.
Time travel.
What do you want to talk about?
Nothing. I'm just kidding.
Actually, I did read something just tonight about time travel.
You did?
Yeah. Some guy says we don't need a time machine. All we have to do is create some type of explosion that'll make time and space loop in on each on itself, and then you just have to walk into it, and you'll be able to time travel.
Wow.
Of course, wow. They never listen to our show. I mean,
no,
we already have that.
We already have it. We built one out of an erector set in Legos.
An erector.
Erector set, Legos, and a DeLorean. Nice.
The other thing I did is, so I get back on Thursday night, and then on Friday night, I have to go to my cousin Kelly's wedding. So cheers to Kelly and her husband, Joe.
Congrats.
Congrats. It was over at Chevy Chase.
Oh, yeah. Nice place.
Really
yeah.
Nice job.
I've golfed there.
They did one of these, what do they call it, non-denominational kind of things.
Nice. Me too.
Lasted 10 minutes. Then they
married
opened
by a
up the
judge.
Bar.
Weren't you married by a judge?
I was.
Yeah.
Then they open up the bar, and then they sit you down for dinner. I didn't really want to sit down for dinner. You don't have to feed me. I like catching up with everybody I haven't seen in a while. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my wedding, there was no sitting down.
Yeah, no
you
sitting down.
You can walk around and eat and do whatever you want and drink all you want.
I wore shorts to your wedding.
Yeah. That's the way it was. Did I ever tell you about people that showed up and they're like dressed up and... you know, it was formal. It was a formal, not the reception so much, but it was in this big old English Tudor in the middle of, it's a historical building.
It was off of Green Bay. Is it off of Sheridan? Green Bay.
No, no. It's in Glenview somewhere.
Glenview?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different wedding. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not much of a lasting impression, my wedding. Thanks. But it was, I told everybody, wear shorts. It's going to be hot out. And
I heard that.
You wore shorts.
No doubt.
As a matter of fact, we should dig a picture out of you with shorts, your long sleeve denim shirt with a tie.
There you go.
No, I think you had khaki shorts, long sleeve shirt, and you were wearing your Doc Martens, I believe.
Of course.
Doc Marten boots with white socks. Khaki shorts.
That was my look back then.
Yeah.
It's still my look, actually.
Although Reverend Weed was wearing shorts, shirt, and a sport coat.
Nice. Nice.
And everybody else, all the other dudes are like, yeah, man, you're really wearing shorts, huh? I said, yeah. Yeah. My shorts are in the car. I said, why? My wife made me wear a suit. Why'd she make you wear a suit? Well, my wife was saying, you know how John is. He's always fucking around and joking around, and we'd show up in shorts and shit, and nobody else would be in shorts at the wedding reception. So nobody bought it when we wrote it on the invitation.
Well, it was mostly outside. It was a great night weather-wise.
Had a Caribbean rock band
playing,
Mr. Myers.
Out of sight.
Had two bars set up. The wife drank a whole bottle of tequila.
Really? A whole bottle?
That's what the lady told me.
So you didn't consummate till what, 48 hours later then?
Oh, definitely. Man, there was, she had like 700 buttons on the back of her dress. And it was like I was trying to take them off with my toes. It was impossible. I said, as soon as I'm done with this, we're going right to fucking bed.
You think that was intentional?
Well, I said, either I'm going to unbutton these or I'm going to get a knife and I'm going to just start cutting them off. Now, once we got a couple done, then she could just pull it over her head. But at first it was like, holy fuck.
Nice.
Yeah, I heard people were smoking pot.
I wasn't. I don't know where you heard that.
Just weed.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
Yeah. I don't know who was.
Wasn't me, man.
I heard a story, too. I think you told me the story. Dan, who was on the show, I don't know if you were following him or what, and his girlfriend got out of the car.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't get back in.
She wouldn't. No. Was that your wedding?
I can't remember. It was my wedding. We ended up at the Beacon afterwards.
We did?
Yeah.
Was there a band?
No.
Well, that reminds me, John, we have anyway. Our next gig is at My Block Party.
That's right.
That's right, John. 2 weeks from yesterday.
Two weeks, private party. As a matter of fact, we got an invite to play at another party in Schaumburg.
Schaumburg.
The heavy metal guy that wants to be on our show.
Yeah?
That
you work with?
Yeah. Well, he's a mechanic. He comes in once in a while.
Oh, right.
I think it's probably a weekend you can't even do it. July 18th, I think, or something.
I think I could do that.
Anyway.
I'll check the calendar.
He's had, like, these death metal bands at every one of his gigs, or every one of his parties.
Yeah.
And he's usually got, like, 170 people or something at these things. And maybe it's the 19th. Anyway, he wants a band that's more like our speed.
That would be us. We're more like our speed.
Our speed, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he wants the neighbors to come and not call the cops.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So I told him if the cops do come, we'll play some Police or Breaking the Law, something like that, you know.
All right. I'll check the calendar.
So that I'll get confirmation on that this week. Also, there's the guy that was doing the front flips in front of us at the Beacon.
Front flips?
Yeah, you remember that?
I do not.
What the fuck is going on with you? We were talking about this like weeks ago.
Front flips.
Yeah, we were playing like, it's that blonde-haired guy with the goatee.
Right. Now I know here. I do not remember him doing front flips.
Front handsprings right in front of us.
But I do remember who you're talking about.
You don't remember that?
Hey, when I play bass, I have to concentrate on my instrument, okay?
You don't even remember doing Working Man either. You sang it. Anyway, he wants us to play at his party.
When is that?
I don't know yet. We're trying to
what kind of party?
Work it out. I don't know. He does like a summer party every year. So he's talking to us. Rick came over Thursday. We went over to the Beacon, and he's got a list of Navy Pier Beer Garden dates that we might be able to do this year.
Nice. Well, you know the other list he was supposed to... We talked on the phone. He's got a list of 25 songs he's supposed to give me because the next practice we're just supposed to run through these 25 songs. I still don't have the list. He said he was going to email me.
I got half of the list. I didn't get the other half. He sent me a list.
At least send me half of it.
He sent me half, yeah. But anyway, so last week, when I was in AZ, his wife was on the Steve Dahl show.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that to me.
I didn't clip it out because I didn't have permission.
Right. Did you ask for permission?
I didn't.
We should do John and Scott Theater.
Well, it's online. You could see it, hear it.
All
on
right,
the
we'll 15th, provide a link then on our homepage when we do our show.
But she talks about the Speed Racer movie, and it's at the IMAX and all that shit, and which is a movie I saw.
You saw Speed Racer
at the IMAX. You got to see it at the IMAX.
Did you see it with Rick?
No. I was in Arizona.
Oh, at the Arizona IMAX.
Yeah.
And you took the kids, the family?
Yeah.
And?
It was, for me, I thought it was, at first I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so fucking cheesy. And then it just became this beautiful, visual, colorful, it was like an acid trip through
the
whole.
Did you smoke weed?
No. No, my kids did, but I didn't. I didn't smoke any. But it was like a freaking acid trip, man. It was unbelievable.
How did the kids like it?
They liked it. Yeah, they liked it. I think they were a little overwhelmed because we're sitting right in the middle, right at like perfect level. So, you know, your peripheral and all that is encompassed by screen. And so we're in a position where it was very fucking loud. And my son's like, Dad, we got to move. I can't take it. And that was just for the previews.
So you moved.
No, we didn't.
You didn't. You stayed.
No, I said, you and Mom can move. Why don't you tell Mom and you move? I ain't moving. This is where I'm sitting for this movie. I'm sure Mom won't like it either. But the wife enjoyed it, too. It was pretty neat. The guy from Lost, Jack, the guy that plays Jack.
Racer X,
Lost,
right?
he plays Racer X, and he's pretty good at it. And there's some good choreographed karate. Even John Goodman gets into it. He does this thing where he spins a guy over his head like they do in the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And the kids got to witness Spritel give somebody the finger.
Nice.
That was cool for them.
Had they ever seen the original?
They have not. They have not.
Is it, it's PG, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter wants to see it. Maybe I'll take her to see it.
It's totally unbelievable. I mean, it's just totally.
Well, I heard it was way too goddamn long. And
it is really long.
The reviews are so negative.
Really? I didn't want the movie to end, dude. I was like, keep going.
Did you read the reviews or anything before you saw it?
No, I saw it like the first day it came out.
I'm wondering if your expectations were so low that, you know.
Oh, they were. They were way low.
They were really low.
How are they going to pull this off? But instead of like being on a road, like most of the races happen in like a track that's like built above ground with loop-de-loops and ramps and all this crazy shit.
Like Hot Wheels?
Oh, yeah. Total Hot Wheels. And he's got, you've seen the cartoon. He's got fucking saws that come out of the front of the car. Give me a break. Saws, and he's got the jumper jacks. Chunk, chunk, chunk,
chunk. Oh, no doubt.
You know, he does that a lot in the movie where he flips a car upside down over another car but they totally captured all that shit. And there was a sexual tension there between Trixie.
Trixie, who's who?
Richie. What's her name?
I have
something
no
Richie.
Idea.
She played
Richie, yeah. Spike is a big fan of
what the fuck's her name?
Richie.
She played in the Addams Family and some other movies.
Christina Ricci.
Yeah. That's it.
So
yeah,
Spiny Normans.
I liked it, man. If I was stoned, I'm telling you, dude,
Spiny Normans,
that would be the fucking coolest movie. I'd give it three.
Three out of four?
Out of five.
Three out of five Spiny Normans. Well, I'll take the kids to it, then.
You know what I thought was interesting about it, though? Or not interesting, but since we saw it in the IMAX, it must have been digital. Because I could see Susan Sarandon's scars. Like behind her ears, where she had her a face,
Really?
That? Yeah, plastic surgery. And some of the close ups, like on this British actor, I forget his name, he plays one of the bad corporate kind of guys. You could see the makeup on his collar. So the IMAX really just fucking. You know, usually when you see stuff in the IMAX or, like, digital, I'll give you an example. The old Star Wars movies. When they came out on videotape or even the first DVDs, you could see some of the fucked up effects didn't look so good. They didn't translate well like they do on film,
mm-hmm.
You know, because of the graininess and the lighting and stuff. In this movie, I thought, man, they better have this right because the visuals that are going on and the confusion and the it's a overload of sensory. It just really nails your senses as far as your visual and your hearing. If they fuck this up, and I didn't think they did at all. It's like Willy Wonka with racing.
Nice,
you know, it's just really visual. And the story is, you know, okay. The story's okay. I mean, what they do is they'd say, here's Speed Racer. He's racing. Racer.
I guess that's okay. Yeah.
No, what I mean is, let me finish. He's racing on like a minor circuit. He's not in the Grand Prix yet.
Right.
Grand
he's not Prix. Like a Danica Patrick.
Right.
Who gets shoved in the pit.
So he's really racing. He's racing people. You know, there's
other
no,
racers.
There's no yes. corruption. Okay, when he gets to the Grand Prix, there's corruption. There's like the races are fixed. He finds out, and there's all kinds of you know, the corporations. If this guy wins, the stock will go up for the Takahashi company and whatnot. So he finds out that it's dirty. But the Grand Prix scenes are pretty cool. I mean, they have a little bit of cartoonishness to them. And he does, they upgrade the Mach 5. So not only
to
does
Mach
he have
6.
The... No, 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 he's still the Mach 5.
Oh.
But they upgrade it with the saws, you know. You hear, you figure out where he got all that shit. You know, his jumpers. And the tacks, like he shoots out these little spikes so people get flat tires. And then, he's got the reinflating tire, which at one point he hits the jumper jacks, chunk, 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 chunk. And as he's flipping over, one of his blown tires reinflates and he lands. It's out of sight, man.
Nice.
You got to see it.
Nice. Yeah, I'll take the kids. Emma's been bugging me to take her to a movie. And my son, he likes cars.
You'll probably hate it.
My son? Cause it's
no,
too long.
You'll probably hate it.
Oh, I'll hate it? Yeah, probably. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
Should I tell you about my movie and then we'll take a break?
Yeah.
So my wife from Netflix, she rented this movie.
Netflix.
Let me see what the goddamn title is. I had to write it down because I can't remember it. It's one of these goddamn foreign films where I have to write, I have to read. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
And the Butterfly.
So we watched the first hour of this thing and I'm falling asleep because I'm really tired and I have to read. I fall asleep. But I said, wait a minute, honey, wait a minute, hold on, time out. If we rent... Terminator 2, and we go to the audio section. It's in Spanish, French, Italian, whatever.
Right, right.
So this foreign film we're watching that I have to read, can't we go to the audio thing and see if they have like an English, you know?
Right, right, overdub.
Yeah, she didn't want to do that. Okay, so
I'm reading,
I fall asleep.
Your wife's too cultured. She's way too cultured for the likes of us.
So, really interesting movie. Basically what, and it's based on a true story, which I didn't know until the very, very end. But this guy in Europe, he's an editor for a magazine. And he has a stroke. So it's one of these strokes where his body is completely useless to him.
Oh,
the only
yeah.
thing he can do is blink his eyes. He can't talk, he can't eat, nothing.
He should have been taking coenzyme Q10, man.
I can't remember what they call it. It's like clinical locked-in syndrome.
that's your medical
I have
professional
no idea.
Term
I
for
have
that.
No idea
clinical
what it is.
Clinical locked-in syndrome. I think it was tetanus, maybe.
It
he
could have been tetanus. Could have been sparked by tetanus. So
it could be.
Tetanus.
What's interesting is the first half of the movie is like a camera looking through his one good eye. Because
oh.
they sew up the other eye.
What kind of weird ass shit do you two watch?
It was really cool though. So his mind is completely intact, but his body is
what
completely
is
useless. Useless.
Is this like a Being John Malkovich?
No. It's a true story. So what happens is...
He had a real camera in his eye and you saw
no,
it?
No.
Oh.
So what happens is he starts working with physical therapists and linguists. And the way that he communicates is they will like recite the alphabet, right? A, B, C, D, E.
Yeah.
And then he'll blink his eye if they hit the letter.
Yeah.
And then they have to reinforce that
with
say...
Minute. Was it C or did you mean?
Right. Is that the one you meant? And then he says, once for yes, twice for no. And so he starts communicating this way.
Why don't they just point at a board instead of saying it orally.
When I was thinking about that, I said, well, why not come up with
Morse code.
Right. Sometimes there were yes or no questions, and they had to go through the alphabet. Why not just have a yes or a no?
And he farts.
I don't know if he can control anything. Oh. He had no control.
So all the time he'd be going.
Over his left eye. And so he ended
up. That sounds like a fantastic movie.
He ends up writing this book.
with his left eye?
With his left eye and with this therapist. And then the book turns into this movie that we're watching, which we don't know until the very, very end.
Therapist?
Linguist and therapist.
Well, you know, therapist, if you actually read it, it's the rapist. Fucking therapist.
Interesting scene. So he's got a wife, he's got a family, but he's got a mistress, right?
Yeah.
So the one interesting scene. Am I slurring my speech? The wife is in there. She's reading all the mail to him. And a mistress calls on the phone and says, I want to talk to him. And she's like, well, he really can't talk back, so I got to be here, you know. Well, no, I need you to leave the room. Well, I'm not going to leave the room.
Let him bat his eyelid on the phone.
But it was really interesting. And it made me think of Stephen Hawking. He's pretty much in the same predicament.
Even now.
Because of MS. So it's this mind, a fully functional mind trapped in a body that is completely useless. You can't do a goddamn thing.
Nothing.
And everybody's got to bathe you and they got to, it would just be a nightmare. What a nightmare. I would pray to die. I would pray to the Lord, John, to die, if that were me.
Well, why didn't he blink his way and say, okay, stab me with a fork in my good eye?
Did he made comments like that, but of course, you know, they're not going to do that. They're doctors.
He's just kidding. he's funny. He's just kidding like that. You think he tells a joke with his eye? Blink, blink, blink. Here's a good one. Here's a good one.
Well,
here's a good one coming up.
As the movie was going along, so you read what's happening, you read the dialogue, but then you read his thoughts. So you're always in communication with him and how he feels about the whole situation.
How did he get the stroke?
He was just driving his kid. He was taking his kid somewhere, and he had to pull the car over, and he had a stroke.
Ugh.
And the next 3 weeks later, he comes out of a coma and they're sewing up one of his eyes. And he's got no use of any of his body.
Why did they sew his eye up?
They gave some medical thing. I don't know. But they had to sew his eye up. It's just awful.
I thought you were going to tell me he got hit by a penis and now he's cockeyed.
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Sorry.
That.
That's a bad
movie.
Joke.
So out of five Spiny Normans?
Yeah.
I give that one a four.
That
was a thought-provoking.
Oh, I don't want a movie. I don't want thought-provoking. I want a movie.
You want explosions, right?
I want it
There's
to do
no
it
explosions.
To me.
Right.
I don't want to be provoked by thought. I can go and I don't need somebody to drill that into me. I can provoke my own thoughts right here on TTN. Jesus
All right,
Christ.
Then. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back, John. We got some religious stories. Of course, we got celebrity news.
What do you want to hear? Should we play a combo?
We've got...
Listen to me.
Movies. We got to talk about movies. Even though we just talked about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm listening.
You want me to do combo?
Combo. What do we got for a combo?
Holiday and Torn from Practice.
Holiday and Torn from Practice. From how long ago?
From the last practice, I think, before we left.
All right. I say go ahead, you know, because I can't remember. I may have totally fucked these songs up, but what am I going to do?
No, you didn't. You played valiantly.
Valiantly.
On these tunes. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll play Holiday and then Torn, all right?
All right.
All right. Take a leak. Fill our drinks.
No doubt.
We'll be right back. All right.
what it was to cry. But you couldn't be that man I adored. Didn't seem to know, seemed to care what your heart was for. I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. The situation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing that I've done. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. Cold and iron shame. Lying naked on the floor. Losing never changed. Fortune teller's right. Should have seen just what was there and not some holy light. Down beneath my veins and now I don't care. Had no luck. I don't miss it all that much. There's just so many things. Like ain't that that gold? I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. A golden iron chain lying naked on the floor. Losing never changed.
All right, yeah. What's up with that, man?
What up there, Johnny?
You know, I wonder if anybody, whenever we do this, they just fast forward right to the next part. They don't even listen. What is this shit?
Maybe. I don't know. I would listen. If I were a musician, I would listen, I guess. Just to see how lame we were.
I think it sounds pretty good. As a matter of fact, the reason why I'm keeping all of them is so I can put them all on one CD or whatever, all the MP3s, to give to you and Rick, so you'll always have, so you can rehearse to the original.
Right.
Our original versions of,
right on,
of
John.
The songs that we play.
Right on.
A lot of times we don't down-tune to the key that the band does. We don't
That's
do
right.
no half steps backwards.
No. F that.
Yeah. Right, we're not pussy. Pussies.
Pussies.
Pussies. So I'm going to Germany, man.
Yeah, you're leaving Sunday? Next
yeah.
Sunday?
Yeah. My in-laws will be here, though.
So no podcast?
No podcast.
Are we going to put another best of together?
We could.
I think you should do that because you did a better job than Phil.
Oh, come on. Why do you say that?
You did a better job than Phil is
no,
all I'm
that's
saying.
That's not true.
That is true.
No.
Yes. Phil's was way too long-winded. Yours was a laugh a minute. Action
Come packed. On. You're just saying that.
I'm not
Don't
saying
say,
that.
Come on.
So you have to put the next one together as well.
I got to say that I think it was Andrew or somebody really liked it. Hello?
Andrew UK?
Yeah.
Of course, why wouldn't he?
Let's see what he said here. He said, what was it, episode 132?
Yes.
What a cracking best of. This gives me good reason to plow through the next 90 episodes of the back catalog.
Because he's a new listener, but he's going back and he's...
He started from the beginning.
Wow.
What a daring effort.
That is totally
after listening
daring.
To the best of, I was like, holy fuck. What's that noise? That air, fucking air conditioner, remember?
I remember that.
I'll tell you what. I was telling Rick, I miss the studio. I know you say you don't. But to have a place to just go elsewhere and just do and say whatever you want is a little better. Well, I don't mean do and say, but I mean say, because, you know, this is a house and I don't have all the insulation and everything to insulate some of the language that we use.
You
and
have
the kids,
two very impressionable young children upstairs.
And eventually, I think this will be converted to that, but it's going to take about a year because we got a kitchen to do. We got a shed to build. I got a generator to put in. I'm putting in a whole house generator, man.
Nice.
So the power goes out, that sucker kicks on, and the whole house is run by a V6 engine, man. Anyway, Rick and I were talking about, you know, having the studio and stuff. I mean, I was even thinking at some point I might just fucking, if I got to just foot the bill myself for a studio just for TTN. Fuck the band. We could practice here with the band. TTN needs a real studio.
We do?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. Like a real one, a real
that we can have,
like,
guests over and stuff, because you're a little reluctant to have guests.
I'm a little reluctant. You know, this is where I live.
Right.
You know, and you just told me your house got broken into. And, dude, that sucks ass. Really.
That does suck ass.
I feel really bad for your wife, because I could imagine. I mean, she was probably freaking out. And I know your wife. If somebody broke in on her, she'd probably beat them with a baseball bat to a pulp. Because she's a strong woman. But that really sucks.
But just the fact, I mean, come on. You're going to break into my fucking house?
Yeah.
For me, for a guy, and who knows, I may have been knifed and be dead by now. I don't know.
I doubt it.
But the attitude of a guy is, oh, just fucking break into my house, because it gives me the right to do anything I fucking want.
Right.
To this cocksucker who, for whatever reason, wants to walk into my house.
I know, it's fucked up, man. That totally is fucked up.
All right, John, well, let's turn to some lighter things then. Speaking of religion, because we are known as an atheist.
Speaking of religion, that's a good segue there. Break in? Speaking of religion.
I don't know if you know this, but the Roman Catholic bishop said Sunday that the church has officially recognized, get this, that the Virgin Mary appeared to a teenage shepherd girl in the French Alps
again?
Starting in the mid-1600s.
Oh, yeah, I remember this
story. So they just recognized that.
There's a movie about it. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, what's it called?
I can't remember the name of the movie, but there's a movie out because I saw it on Family Classics when I was a young lad. My grandmother used to... We used to have Sundays were kind of a big deal with us, because Sunday would be church, you know, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to go to church, and I would always look forward to Donut Sunday. I think it was the first Sunday of every month, and they would have donuts. They would sell them as a fundraiser, and my grandma would pick up a dozen donuts, and I'd hoard all the chocolate frosted ones for myself. And
would you like take out a bite out of one of them and put it back, and then take out a bite out of the
next? I'd rub it on my ass and then I'd put it back and say, those are mine. That's why they were chocolate. Come
right,
on.
Okay. So they may have been white frosted before you got a hold of them, is what you're saying.
At first, yeah.
Right.
And who knows? They might have been frosted by Father Farrell. I don't know. Come on, that's funny,
That is funny, man. It's
a good joke.
It's a good one.
Some mayonnaise.
So speaking of mass.
But anyway,
can I finish my story? Of course, go ahead, finish your story. Donut Sunday.
It's Donut Sunday, and then, I don't know, I'd go out and play, and then later on in the day, there'd be some sort of dinner. We'd have a dinner. And before dinner, we'd we'd watch family classics, and there'd be like Sink the Bismarck or some shit like that on there with Frasier Thomas. You remember that?
I love family classics. Yeah.
And there'd be this this one, maybe it was around Easter time or something, they'd show this movie about the Virgin Mary, this chick who saw the Virgin Mary in 1600. And all the pilgrims would like come to this mountain to witness this spectacle.
Well, the church finally said that it's official. Yes, she did see the Virgin Mary.
Really?
400 years after the fact. Yeah.
Wow.
That is one big pile of shit.
So, who did they interview? Did they interview like the great 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 grandkids? I mean, how do you come to this decision that it was really her? Yeah, really saw it. We're going to officially recognize that.
What was it called?
You would think if they made a movie on family classics, that would be enough.
But who was it that saw it?
Who was it? Who was the woman?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, you're challenging me now, huh?
Well, I mean, it's got to be in the story, right?
Monsignor Jean-Michel de Falco Landry said he recognized the supernatural origin of the apparitions to 17-year-old shepherd girl Benoit
Benoit
Corral. Ren Corral. Starting in 1664 and running through 1718. How about that?
Benoit
Rensorelli. Rensorel.
God, I can't remember the name of the movie. I'm looking it up.
This another...
Just so you can see it with your kids.
Religious news. Rocky Twyman has a radical solution for surging gasoline prices. You know, I heard gasoline was going to go to $4
a gallon. Is this annoying you, this song?
Not at all. I heard it was going to go to $4 a gallon, but I didn't know it was going to go to like $4.50.
Oh,
2 weeks
it's
after,
go
it was
more
at
than
gallon.
That.
That's what I've
it's
been hearing.
It's going to go like $12.
That's what I heard. I heard that we are going to reminisce about the times when it was $4 a gallon. Anyway, this guy has a solution for surging gasoline prices. Do you
really
know what it is, John?
No.
Prayer.
Oh, are you serious?
Twyman,
cocksucker, motherfucker!
A community organizer, church choir director, and public relations consultant from Washington, D.C., staged a pray-in, asking God for cheaper gas.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I'm serious. He did the same thing in the nation's capital on Wednesday with volunteers from a soup kitchen. Joining in today, he will lead members of an Oakland church in prayer.
Wow.
God is the only one you can turn to at this point. Our leaders don't seem to be able to do anything about it. Well, I completely agree with them there.
Yeah.
The prices keep soaring and soaring.
Soaring my ass.
Soaring it up.
Soaring up my ass.
It is un-goddamn believable. I do agree with him there. Our leaders can't do a goddamn thing about it.
No.
Bush goes over to the Saudis and he says, hey, you and I, we've been in bed for the last, my dad was
increased
in charge.
Production. Fuck you. The Chinese pay more for it.
They blew him off.
Yeah.
Because he's a goddamn chimp. God damn it.
Unbelievable.
So the prayer is, are you ready for the prayer?
There's actually a prayer?
Yeah, there is a God. There is a God. No, there is a prayer. God, deliver us from these high prices. That's all I have to say.
That's it.
That's it.
Lord, please. Oh, man. You know, I was watching this thing yesterday. It's called 2057. And there's some physicists on this show, a guy who... is constantly like he's on like all these crazy shows about the end of the world and some he even talks about time travel and
what's his name?
I forget. He's like a Japanese guy or something.
Oh, I think I know.
He's got long hair.
Yeah, like gray now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's the guy pushing string theory.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he pushing it or is he? Well, anyway.
No, he's all about string theory.
Well, anyway, he's on this I thought he was just explaining it on a show. I didn't think he was actually in it, into it.
Oh, he's totally into it.
But anyways, he did this thing on, it's called 2057, and it's about 50 years from last year. What's going to happen as far as energy? And he's predicting that this group for this movie, where this documentary, are predicting that the oil's going to run out. And we need another resource. Solar's not good enough. The bio's not good enough. There's all this other stuff. And there's wars. There's going to be wars over
food.
Not only the food, but the fuel, but also any new technology that comes out. And during his discussions and other discussions from scientists and stuff, they're showing like this science fiction movie in the background that's happening, where there's a space elevator created to blast people off into to the moon. It's an elevator.
Right.
And on the elevator, there's science experiments going on, and there's like a Chinese guy on there, and there's an American guy, and the Chinese guy discovers like some sort of molecule that they can convert into fuel. And the Chinese government tells them, hey, man, we want to know all the data first before you share it with the Americans. Oh, and by the way, we have your wife here. She won't be harmed as long as you give us the data first. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you serious? And this Japanese guy is talking about the superpowers. The only two superpowers that are going to be happening at that time is the U.S. and China.
Well, I completely disagree with that. I mean, if the U.S. continues on the course that it's on, in 50 years, we will not be a fucking superpower.
And the European Union is really cranking up to be a superpower, as far as I'm concerned. Now, China might be being totally industrialized, but they got to consume more and more energy, and they have to import it because they're not drilling for it on their own. They have to import it from somewhere.
Well, and the other thing is they're going through what we went through, but with no controls, which is going to be a nightmare for public health and all sorts of shit.
Right.
So they're going to have to deal with that. Plus, they had a fucking earthquake where like 100,000 people are missing. Or what the hell is going on over in China? I mean, that's brutal. Brutal. Now,
brutal.
We should ask a Pat Robertson. Why did that happen? And he's, what, does China?
why don't we ask John Hagee?
Accept homosexuals? Is that why it happened?
Why don't we ask John Hagee? McCain, you heard about that, right?
Mm-mm.
John Hagee, the minister that endorsed McCain, and McCain, you know, looked for his endorsement. He said that Hitler, the whole Holocaust thing was God.
Oh, you know what? I did hear that. I did hear that. And the first thing that came to my mind is Hagee and Ben Stein got to get together. Because according to Ben Stein,
yeah,
Darwin was Hitler's influence. According to Hagee, God was the one who sent Hitler to do his God's bidding. So we got to get those two in a room to have a conversation.
Unbelievable. And he's the one who said that God, it was God's will, the whole Katrina.
Yeah.
Because they had these gay parades and stuff. So God was punishing the gays.
You know, and this
and
is...
And all of a sudden, McCain's ditching him. But you know, that's not in the news, you know. Jeremiah Wright, who's a fucking decorated Marine and who, you know, gave up his life to become a Marine for 6 years. He's unpatriotic. He's not an American because he says, God damns America. But this Hagee guy goes ahead and says shit about... Hitler, God said that he's going to send a hunter down. Well, Hitler was a hunter.
And a fisher, John.
And a fisher.
and a hunter.
Hitler was a hunter. That's how he put it. Hitler
well,
was
no,
a hunter.
They fished for information.
Yeah.
So they had people turn on their neighbors, and then Hitler came in as the hunter, and he would
right.
kill them.
Yeah.
You see, and that was all God's bidding.
Yeah.
But when you talk to Ben Stein, another religious whack job, it's Darwin. It's not
Darwin,
God.
Yeah.
It's Darwin. So get Ben Stein and get this
yeah,
fucking
let's,
idiot
they can argue it
in
out.
A room so they can argue about well, fucking fairy tales.
Which is it, Ben?
Yeah.
Is it God and Hitler, or was it the Darwinists?
And just
social
after,
Darwinism.
After reading God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens, it just reaffirmed what I believe about the natural world. And it provides so much information that I believe in that I just... It's even more appalling to me when somebody spouts this crap. I mean, it's a goddamn fucking fairy tale. It's the same fairy tale as Hansel and Gretel, but people kill each other over it. And it just makes me goddamn nauseated.
Yeah.
When are we going to truly come into an enlightened age where people dismiss this and they go after true knowledge? In my belief, John, that only comes from science.
Well, I got another book for you.
What's that?
Sam Harris, The End of Faith.
Have you read it?
Yeah.
So you can let me borrow it?
Yeah.
Nice. It's out of sight.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to the Vatican, John, I don't know if you heard this, but the chief astronomer.
I don't listen to a lot
of... Did you know that the Vatican has a chief astronomer?
No. Astrologer? Astronomer.
And he says that believing in aliens does not
contradict
faith in God. The Reverend Joseph Gabriel Funes, the chief astronomer, says that the vastness of the universe means it is possible there could be other forms of life outside Earth. Even intelligent ones.
No.
It does not contradict our faith because aliens would still be God's creatures. Well, I have some questions for him there. If that's true, is there an alien version of Jesus that he sent to these other planets? Or did they evolve differently where he didn't have to send his only begotten son? That he didn't have to impregnate a virgin because Adam didn't bite the apple. What is their folklore? What is their fairy tale of these alien nations? And I got to tell you, John, if aliens, like in the Tom Cruise movie, War of the Worlds, if they did show up, for me, it would confirm that, there is no God.
Right.
I guess we have to have a guest in here who believes in God. So if that really did happen, what would they think?
You have to get a guy I work with. He's doing a biblical study. No, he'll just short circuit and probably shoot us all. We have to get a pastor. A real God aficionado. Somebody who's theological. Who studies theology.
So this is God's creature, War of the Worlds, that's here to destroy us. So how do you interpret that?
Well, he fucked up,
Is the question. Yeah. Is this testing our faith before Armageddon? I don't know. Who knows? So I read this article about the chief astronomer believing in aliens, and it's okay. It doesn't contradict God. And then I go to the letters. I love to see the people, you know, like you and I, John, the people that respond to these articles.
Yeah.
And I ran across this one. I find this article very well written and interesting. I've always felt that believing in God had nothing to do on whether the earth was flat or not and so forth.
What?
What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. What does that mean?
Oh, my God.
If we do find aliens, I would wonder how people who believe that evolution is the answer to everything would react. Because atheists presume to deny our Lord. They are even more anthropocentric than most religious people.
Oh, it's they not a denial.
They have a tendency to replace God by the government, by society, by money, or by whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to make a huge wager here.
I'm starting to get nauseated.
I'm going to make a huge wager. I would bet that person and anybody else that believes in God that if you could find one single fucking bit of proof that God exists, atheists would say, hey, we were wrong. Sorry.
Right on. Because most atheists, and I'm speaking just for you and me, John, are men of science.
All of them are. Every person that's an atheist isn't sitting there and going,
show us the objective evidence, John.
Yeah, even if you show me the evidence, I'm not going to believe. That's not the whole idea. Atheism has nothing to do with non-belief, just to non-believe. It's non-belief because there is no evidence presented to prove that God exists.
Anyway, this guy goes on to say there is further teaching, John, not evidence, but teaching, that says that there is only one incarnation. That means that Jesus Christ came into flesh on earth only and has never been face to face with aliens. According to UFOologists.
UFOologists? UFOologists. That's a spell that.
The aliens would thus be coming on Earth to hear more about Christ. If aliens did visit us, they're visiting us because they heard of the legend of Christ.
Of the good word.
Right, yeah. So I have this advanced technology. I can travel. I can intergalactically travel. And I want to go to Earth to hear about Jesus Christ.
Let me hear the good word. Spreading the good word.
What if they showed up and they said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I just want to hear about the Easter Bunny. I want to hear about Santa
Claus. Tooth Fairy, John. Santa Claus.
Tooth Fairy. Forget Jesus. Tell me about Pam Anderson. I mean, it's so goddamn ridiculous. You know, I was listening to
our show.
Heard Bill Hicks?
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty funny.
I'm sorry, it's not Bill.
We've been compared to Bill Hicks.
It's some other guy. I did listen to Bill Hicks today, but it's Doug Stanhope. Stanhope. You ever listen to him?
No.
So he's a comedian, and he does these rants about how goddamn stupid this whole fairy tale business is.
Is he like a short dude that's...
Nah.
No, okay.
No, I don't think he's short.
I've never heard of him.
You should check it out. Go onto YouTube and put in Doug Stanhope. And he has some good rants about this. Like, I do not understand it at all. But from his perspective, because they drill it into kids as early as possible, that sets up the rest of their lives to question this. Where if we never heard about religion until we were 18 years old, it would be a much different society. Because we'd be like, okay, so you're 18, and to graduate you have to go to Bible class where you learn about Moses splitting the sea and Jesus and the Virgin Mary. And you'd
be
like,
man, I've been to Catholic school, man. I went to Catholic school. I went to CCD. All that shit.
Yeah.
They drill it into you. I remember when I was little, they were like, hey, man, every sin.
And it's just like the W regime. It's based on fear. You got to do this.
We talked about this before. It's immoral.
It is immoral.
It's immoral.
It's child abuse.
Just like Santa Claus telling your kids, hey, man, if you're not good, you're not getting any presents. Presents from Santa because we got his phone number.
I actually have a cousin. He had a brother. And The brother was good. The cousin was bad, whatever that means. He was bad. So Christmas rolled around. His brother got gifts. He got coal.
Wow.
The parents gave him coal. You know, I just saw him, and I should ask him about that. I should ask him if he's if he believes in these fairy tales or not. I'd rephrase it, of course.
We gave our kids coal, too.
You're kidding me. You gave them coal?
It was gum, though. It was coal gum.
Okay. And then you gave them gifts.
Yeah.
You just didn't give them coal gum. All right.
Oh, my God. No, but I'm saying, man, it's like, at first I was like, this is so cool, you know, the kids, the tradition of Christmas, the Santa Claus, all this stuff. It's really cool. And then I found ourselves using it as a tool for punishment. We're just like all the rest, man. Lemmings falling, you know, it was unbelievable. And then I hear Penn Jillette talking about how his wife and himself think it's total, you know, child abuse because you're lying and then you're using it as a tool for discipline.
Right.
And there I am. I'm pissed. Oh, fuck you. What do you know, Penn? It's tradition. And there I am. Hey, man. Santa Claus knows if you're naughty or nice, and I can call him. You know, and then the kids get smart and they're like, well, how do you have his number? I go, because it's in the dad book. Oh, can I see it? No. We get to see the dad book when you're born.
Yeah,
okay?
You can see it when you're a dad.
When you're a dad.
Right
we
on.
We get to see it, and we memorize all these things in the dad book, and then we hand it off to the next dad. So when you're a dad, you get to see the dad book, too. But until then, I have the number, and I grab the phone. No, please, God, for the love of God, don't do it. That's just brutal. But what a tool it is.
A tool. Like the W is a tool.
Unbelievable.
All right, one last religious story before we get to movies, John.
We talked about movies. We're going to get to more movies?
We're going to talk about movie news, not movies that we've seen.
Oh, all right.
The discovery of a decaying corpse of a 90-year-old woman led to criminal charges Friday and an account of a religious community praying that she be brought back to life.
Oh, no, my God.
The corpse had been on a toilet for more than 2 months.
Shut up. You're making this up.
I'm not. A man and a woman instructed her two children to pray for a miracle that would bring back life to the corpse.
Come on.
Tammy D. Lewis, 35, who calls herself Sister Mary Bernadette, and 57-year-old Alan A. Bushy, known as Bishop John Peter Bushy, each were charged with 2 counts of causing mental harm to a child, party to a crime in connection with the death of this 90-year-old woman who died on the fucking toilet. Lewis's 12-year-old and 15-year-old children lived in the house and were there when a Janu County Sheriff's deputy arrived and found the body Wednesday on the toilet.
Wow.
Harlan Johnson, who lives next door, said the woman and her two children moved in sometime last year.
Did you say Howard Johnson? I've stayed there.
Harlan Johnson.
Sorry.
We'd sometimes see the kids and the mom walking and grandmother around the yard.
Oh my God.
But in the last 2 or 3 months,
like Weekend at Bernie's, or
we
what?
Haven't seen hide nor hair of the kids or the grandma.
Oh shit!
But let that sink in. The grandma died on the fucking toilet, and the mom and dad told the kids to pray for more than a month.
Oh, the smell.
We got to talk to those kids. We got to get those kids out of that goddamn family. Jesus Christ, John.
Unbelievable.
All right, turning to movie news.
Hey, man, I got a cop story.
Cop.
Yeah, you remember, I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, we did a no-knock story about a 92-year-old woman getting blasted by cops.
Right, we did, yeah.
Ex-cop gets 4.5 years in deadly raid cover-up,
nice.
Scott.
In That's
Atlanta,
it?
Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah. In Atlanta, Georgia, an Atlanta police officer has been sentenced to 4 years and 6 months in prison for lying to investigators after a drug raid ended in the death of a 92-year-old woman.
In a wheelchair,
yeah.
Right?
No, she came out and she was like, "Who?"
Oh,
they
right,
kicked
right.
the door
I remember,
in,
yeah.
And she started firing away, and then they blasted her like 5,000 times.
I think it was 52.
Yeah, something like that. Superior Court Judge Michael Johnson also sentenced Arthur Tesler on Thursday to 6 months of probation. The officer must serve 450 hours of community service. Catherine Johnston died in a hail of bullets after narcotics officers burst into her Northwest Atlanta home on November 21st, 2006, using a special no-knock warrant to search for drugs. The 42-year-old Tesler was convicted Tuesday of making false statements. Two other officers have already pleaded guilty, and Tesler was the only officer to go to trial. That's it. That's all they got.
That's it.
I had to tell that. That's all the news is released on this fucking travesty.
And that's
now,
the,
granted, she's 92, but, you know, what the fuck is that? They kicked the door in, and I think she fired one shot or something because she had no idea who was kicking the door in this no-knock policy. That's the danger of the no-knock policy, because if I had a fucking gun, I'd shoot the cops in the fucking face.
Well, yeah, and
you don't kick my fucking door down. You say,
"Our
hey,
house got
police.
Broken into, and somebody walks into my house." Yeah. I'm going to be even more jazzed up. You know,
somebody walks into your house, but the cops are afraid to walk into your house. That cracks me up. The perp, no problem. Hey, how you doing? What's up?
All the doors
probably
are closed.
Made
we
them
didn't
a
want to go in.
Bowl of cereal. The cops didn't want to go in.
Well, the doors were closed, so they assume that. Who knows? I don't know how many of these are false alarms, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you forget to put the dog away and it sets off the motion detector or whatever. Who knows?
Well, here's a key, Scott. You need to get with the alarm people and set up a perimeter alarm and let the dogs roam in the part that is not alarmed.
I see.
So that when they do walk in, they go past that threshold. Your fucking dogs rip every limb off of their body.
Well, Rottweilers aren't known to be aggressive like that unless they're trained for it. But they will intimidate.
That's all you need, man.
Well, that's the cool thing about Rots.
You've seen my dog.
I've seen your dog.
He'll jump at the fucking door and look like he's going to rip your jugular out.
He will.
I had a kid from the March of Dimes over yesterday that rang the bell. And Max almost leapt through the window. He was pouncing on the window and the hackles were up. As soon as I opened the door and greeted this little 7-year-old girl, Max walked right up and started licking her. As soon as I said it was okay. But ring the bell or try to get in our house, he'll flip out.
Yeah, he goes way over the top.
You even said, you're like, "Whoa, man. It's an intimidating bark." But he knows you, man. He ain't gonna mess with
you. Right, so I just walk in. But Rots are known, anecdotally anyway.
Well, he's a shepherd. He's German shepherd.
That,
golden retriever.
A guy comes in, they'll let him in, but they won't let him out.
Nice.
Like, they'll just sit there, stare at him, and if he tries to make a move, what happens is they find these guys in the corner, some corner, with the Rot just sitting and staring at him. Because he's intimidated them back into this corner.
Well, the Rot senses that there's some fear going on, and then the Rot's like, "Hey, whoa.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
What are you doing here?
What's going on?
All right, I'm
going
to have to back you in the corner unless you prove that you're part of this alpha family.
Make a move. I'll bite your balls off.
So that's what you need to do. I think you need to set up the perimeter. Ours is set up with perimeter. so that the dog can roam around without being detected.
Right on, John.
Actually, we got to upgrade ours since the addition.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. But if anybody's hearing this, I sleep next to my bed with a Louisville Slugger. Because I don't know if, you know, the gun thing, although, I don't know, I think it's cool that you can have your own gun. I'm not comfortable having one.
Especially with kids around.
Yeah, I'd rather bash your face in with a bat.
And the thing that I always think is I've got home court advantage. I know my house better than some fucker
Absolutely.
Walking in.
Yeah.
So his block is going to get knocked the fucking clear off, John.
And you're ape-like, you know.
You're
simian. You got knuckles
long arms.
Dragging. You know, so you got like 10 times the strength of a man.
Right on.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to mess with you.
Of course not.
I don't think... Anyway, right.
All right, turning to movie news. Sex in the City.
Celebrity news, you mean?
No, movie news. Sex in the City. Is anybody going to go see that? Is anybody going to go see Sex in the City?
A bunch of broads will go see that.
You know, my wife watched it. She would watch it on HBO. But I asked her, do you want to see that? Because I don't want to see that. She's like, no, I'm not going to go to that. Why would I go to that? Who's going to go see this movie?
I think your wife saw it because it was more of a serial. You know, it's like a soap opera in the evening.
Right.
As opposed to a movie of it. Like, oh, let's go see the As the World Turns is a film.
Well, you know, the fucking thing, I could never watch that show because the narration, it drove me fucking insane. I don't like Sarah Jessica Parker. I like her. But she's got to narrate every goddamn detail of that show. I had it. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore.
I
can't understand what's happening visually. That she's got to tell me what's going on.
Every time I see her, I want to say, why the long face? You know? I don't know. It's kind of that horse face look of hers.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Who's going to go see that? I'm expecting it to be a bomb. Will it be a bigger bomb than Speed Racer? That's the question.
Why are you saying that, man?
Well, because Speed Racer, when it came out, Ashton Kutcher had a movie that made more money than Speed Racer. Yeah. The one with he and Cameron Diaz in Vegas made more money on the first week than Speed Racer did. That's for goddamn ridiculous.
Ashton Kutcher. Ashton. I just saw a movie with him in it recently.
Which one? The one with Dancing with Wolves guy? What's his name? Kevin Costner?
Yeah, The Guardian.
The Guardian, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to say, did you watch that?
I did see it a long time ago.
Oh, my God. That movie's horrible.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
Oh, what is it? Top Gun with a helicopter? Oh, Jesus Christ. We watched it the other night, me and the wife.
Trying to be Top Gun.
I'll tell you what, though. I watched 12 Monkeys again.
That's a great movie, man.
That has got to be Brad Pitt's greatest
role
ever.
No, no, no.
What?
Fight Club.
Okay, yeah, okay.
There you go. Get you back on track.
But I'll tell you what, that's a close second,
man.
It
is good, man. He's good. He's good as an insane elitist.
And he goes, number one, and he's putting the middle finger up all the time. He's giving fuck you. He's constantly, it is great. The kids were interrupting me, and the phone would ring, and I got to pause. I'm like, God damn it. I'm watching 12 Monkeys.
All right, another movie news. Oliver Stone, you know, he's making this film about the W, right?
The W.
So this headline comes out, Stone's Bush film hit by script leak. And I'm thinking, script leak? What? Everybody knows the story. This guy's an imbecile. Yeah. I mean, what could he possibly leaking in the script?
Yeah, right here. Well, here's a line right from the script.
That he's not a chimp?
No, here's a line from the script. Okay. I have one that was leaked out. It says, quotas are bad for America. It's not the way America is all about. That's one of the lines from the film. Yeah. Said by the W.
It goes on to say that it reportedly pokes fun at the current president. Boy, I couldn't understand why. creating scathing caricatures of both the W and members of administration. Former President Bill Clinton is also parodied in the film. And the publication reports
parried
that in one scene he is referred to as a lard ass. The leaked script goes on to make fun of Bush's relationship with his parents, his alleged incompetence, his Texas accent, and most controversially, his decision to go to war with Iraq in 2003. Oh. His alleged incompetence.
Yeah.
Come on. That's a goddamn fact. This guy is 10 degree to the power of 10 incompetent. Come on. Who can argue with that? Give me somebody who can argue with that.
I don't know. He's totally ridiculous. He sucks.
That's unbelievable. Also in movie news, Spike Lee slams Eastwood for all white cast. Did you hear about this, John? Spike Lee launched into a bitter attack on fellow filmmaker Clint Eastwood for failing to include black soldiers in his films about the Battle of Iwo Jima. The Do the Right Thing director insists African-American soldiers should be included in Eastwood Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima since hundreds took part in the 1945 battle for the Japanese island.
Did they? Weren't they Navy guys, though?
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
Follow-up story. Eastwood rejects Spike Lee's criticism. Veteran actor and director Clint Eastwood rejected criticism from Spike Lee and his films, blah, 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 blah. In an interview with German's Focus magazine, Eastwood said it was nonsense to suggest he had erased the role of black GIs from history. He said there were no African-Americans in those films because there were no African-American soldiers involved.
There you go.
Does he know anything about American history? Eastwood told Focus about Lee's criticism. The U.S. military was segregated till the Korean War, and the blacks in World War II were totally segregated. The only black battalion on Iwo Jima was a small munition supply unit that came to the beach after the fact.
Yeah, Tuskegee Airmen. Remember that?
I remember that. I remember that, John.
But I thought they were, some of them were Navy men. They were in the Navy.
Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is
part of the ground troops.
The fact is there weren't any black soldiers in these two films, in these two confrontations. And Spike Lee goes off half-cocked, John, because he doesn't have the facts. And he feels like he's being discriminated against when Eastwood's just trying to portray historical accuracy.
Yeah.
I've always hated Spike
Lee. So where's Spike Lee's apology?
Since he showed up, he's a New York fan.
Dumbass.
New York Knicks fan.
By the way, how are the Lakers doing?
They lost big time.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's running around the court like he's in the coach or something. Sit the fuck down, all right? Go make movies and shut up.
With your round glasses.
Right up.
Dork.
Right up?
Right up,
turning to celebrity news, I have a celebrity quiz for you, John.
Right up there.
We're going to do it.
I love your jive. You got that street talk down. Right up.
Right up, John.
Brother.
Celebrity quiz, then we'll get into Bill O'Reilly.
Oh.
First, celebrity quiz.
Wait a minute. I got comments, man. I got a shitload
of
comments.
You want to? Let me do the celebrity quiz.
All right.
Then we'll take a break. Yeah, because I got to piss. Or you can get into comments while I'm pissing.
I got to find a song.
Quiz. Here's the celebrity
quiz. I'll give you a quiz.
What celebrity said this, John? I used to shit myself until I was 12 years old. I didn't stop until I got a job. What celebrity said that? Said I used to shit myself until I was 12 years old. I didn't stop.
Ted Nugent?
Until I got a job. No.
No.
Shia LaBeouf.
Are you serious?
Indiana Jones and the crystal whatever.
Skull.
Tells the new issue of GQ.
No, he's lying.
Yes, that's what he said. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but that's what he said.
Ooh. What was that?
Nothing, man.
Hey.
All right, let me know when you're ready to go to break, because I really...
Really?
got to drain
the vein,
the dragon. And then we'll get to more celebrity news.
Did we play Jenny Jenny?
Did we? The one with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
No, go ahead and play our version of Jenny Jenny, because last week they heard Arnold and why it was so difficult for me to learn Jenny Jenny.
All right.
And I still have difficulty playing this song because of Arnold.
All right,
my thighs are on fire.
Go potty.
Go potty. All right, man.
Yeah, Kangaroo Court here on live, here on live,
live.
On Total Talk Nonsense. That was practice.
Three weeks ago, long time ago.
Yeah,
I don't think I've played a bass since.
I'm gonna have to
get ready for Tuesday night.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Is a day from tomorrow.
Yeah, so I have all day tomorrow. because it's an American holiday, Memorial Day. Tomorrow. We have a 3-day weekend, John.
And just to let you know, this is this broadcast always goes from start to finish. We don't cut. We don't edit. We only edit if something's really fucked up, like
usually
sound
like technical difficulties or some shit.
But we
like
don't
that.
Edit. So when we go to a song, we're really going to a song. There is no stopping, dicking around for 2 days, and then playing this.
That's
throwing
what we
the
used
song
to do.
Filler.
Though.
Yeah.
What we used to do. And I was getting home at like 2 a.m. And I'm like, hey, we gotta change that.
That's right. Hey, man, I got some comments, man. I got a shitload of comments.
Shitload. So let's do comments. And let's then get into the greatest sound clip in the history of sound clips.
All right, right. 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 On. Whoa. All right, let's see, what does it say here? This is from Podcast Alley. It says, hey, yo, bitches. First, I want to know if Scott and John can say perpendicular perpendicularity 5 times fast.
I can't. I'll tell you right now. I can't even say the first word.
Perpendicular perpendicularity. You guys are the two greatest Siberian sap-sucking sons of a shit-eating slut ever. Your kick made your ass. No, you kick made your ass. Tet! Oh. And bring the Scots Lovely back on. She sounds fucking hot.
Fucking A, no doubt.
This is from 7 of 9 Lover. 9 Lover.
He just joined the forum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just activated him.
You back at the bacon.
I just activated him on the forum.
This one says, the best 5-star John and Scott kick ass. I think the U.S. imbecile president listens to this himself.
He couldn't.
Yeah. Dinkle 007 sent that one. Tremendous. It was nice when you used to read the comments. It made us feel wanted. Submitted by Mark Spooner.
Mark Spooner, one of the first people to submit a photograph.
Oh, yeah.
It's Total Talk Nonsense that is still on display on our website, John.
Jesus Christ, play Arnold's work, Da Pump Clip, from Mike Hunt. Or, I'm sorry, Mike Hunt. I said that wrong.
It's the greatest feeling you can get in a gym, you know, is having sex with
Mike.
A pump. Get a really tight feeling. It's really tight. It's like somebody blowing the pump. And it feels different. It feels tight. It's like somebody blowing air into your pump. Let's say you drain your pump. I'm like coming in the gym, coming at home. I'm coming backstage when I pump up. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
He's in heaven. He's heaven. He's in heaven.
With the pump.
Where
like
was I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pump.
Yeah. This is from Facebook. Gerald Shale Brooks says, hey, John, I'm a big fan of the show and have been listening for about 8 months now. Between you guys and Punky, I've decided to start my own show with my roommate.
There you go.
Yeah. We've already done our first show, and so far the response has been pretty good. I've heard you mention using Audacity and blah, 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 blah. He wants to know how to do stuff. We'll have to post his site because I didn't put it
on
here.
What's the show, man?
I don't have it.
You don't have the
I
show?
I don't have it. We'll just have to link to it.
Come
on. Just click on it when you post it.
Oh, yeah. More work for me.
Oh, listen to you,
less work
man.
For you. All you had to do is write down what show it was. We just say
I'll
what show it is.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you.
All right.
This one from Christopher LeBlanc. Hey, John, I've been listening to TTN for almost 2 years now. Ever since episode 58, just wanted to say you guys are a little bit of sanity, albeit somewhat inebriated at times, like right now, in a very insane world. Keep up the good work. And this is from, there's a guy, John T., out of New Jersey, and he's a guy who keeps up this this group on Facebook called I Listen to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. So here's a bunch of comments of recent some recent listeners. This one's from Jonathan DeCastro out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. John and Scott, oh my gosh, you are the best podcast in the entire planet Earth. You are totally the most sensible talk in the face of podcasting. Thank you for making our Blaine insane. May God give you more power. God bless you both. Just kidding. Can't wait for the next show. And James Leader out of Plymouth wrote, hey, John, Scott, and Phil, love the podcast. Found you via Punky, which also rocks. Got hooked on about 120. Listening to all of them from one now as I drive all over the country. Keep up the great show. Really feeling. It's a tongue twister. Really feel like I know you guys now. Not in a deadly anal raping stalker way. Well, John and Scott may have goat's ass, and Phil, who knows? Thinking I may come to see AKC play a gig later this year.
Nice.
How about that?
And Phil gets a shout out. He rarely gets shouts out.
Hey, the W is not the only chimp in office. We have a chimp called Gordon Brown in the hot seat. He has all the chimp qualities of the W. Anyway, love the show. Scott, try Doll Winnie instead of Glenn Livett.
Doll Winnie?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
D-A-L-W-H-I-N-N-I-E. Doll Winnie.
I will check it out.
Yeah.
Doll Winnie.
Yeah, Ross Mortensen out of Connecticut wrote, I just want to say how much I enjoy your podcast, guys. I'm a relative newcomer. I first started listening with the Stephen Hawking episode and have been hooked since. Really great stuff and always a pick me up on those days when I'm toiling away on a project and you make me bust a gut. You've got a big fan here. Keep up the great work and thanks a lot for putting all the effort and work into the show that you guys do. Well, thanks a lot there, Ross. Christopher, Jonathan, James, Jerry, everybody, Dinkle 007, especially John T. for keeping up the I Listen to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott Facebook group.
Right on, John.
Check that out, and we'll be there. Check it out.
All right, John, let's get to the greatest sound clip.
The greatest sound clip of all time.
Now, if, in case you're a new listener, John
you're
and
a new
I
comber.
Really love Bill O'Reilly, don't we, John?
Oh yeah.
The nose spin zone.
That cracks me up.
Bill O'Reilly.
The nose spin zone.
Yeah, actually, we think he's a total cocksucker. So when this news clip came out, I could not stop watching it. I watched it 10 times. I just loved it. I love to see this fucker lose his mind.
You got like a million times you can record. They're recording this shit, right? Record all the time.
Well, you know what I started to think about was, so what set him off? Obviously, there's something bothering him. It has nothing to do with his job. It has nothing to do with the news. Something before he walked in the studio was tremendously bothering him.
I disagree 100%.
No, and I'm thinking, was it this time when he was hitting on the woman and she was rebuffing him or not giving him the time of day?
I disagree.
Is that what was bothering him?
I think he realized how fucking stupid he was in front of these producers who are beneath him.
In his view,
he was like, basically this next line was that telling me that they're gonna go to this clip
of Sting,
and I'm not getting it. So I got to play it off as, what the fuck is this shit?
So that was your interpretation?
Yeah. That he was embarrassed that somebody... No, actually...
Or maybe it was a combination of both.
Actually, this is normal. You're a rookie, and we're professionals, and you're a fucking idiot. And, well, let's listen to the clip.
All right, let's listen to this. This is Bill O'Reilly. This is from years ago.
Yeah. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know... whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay.
Sure. There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
It's Sting is going to do... It's a video. Sting video.
What is
for credits?
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right, go.
Here's
go.
Word. There
five,
you go.
Five, four, three.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
Okay. In five, four, three.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Five, four, three.
That's tomorrow and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away. Fucking Bill O'Reilly sucks.
Oh, my God.
That is
great, man. I can't do it. What do you mean you can't do it? Just read the teleprompter.
He's going to rewrite it. We'll do it tomorrow.
We'll do it live.
I look forward to that.
I can't wait
to come in tomorrow.
The great thing is the video footage of him flipping his jacket off and shit afterwards.
All right, so it ends... And there's no more audio, but they pan back, and you see Bill O'Reilly just completely lose
right.
it. He's pulling shit out of the wall and flipping his jacket off and yelling.
What an asshole.
What a total douche. I wonder how the crew reacted to that, you know?
Well, here's Bill O'Reilly explaining it, because this is like a clip from a long time ago.
Explaining his outburst?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now.
By the way, there's a tape floating around on the internet of me in a state of displeasure, I understand. Apparently, the tape is 20 years old. But I, your humble correspondent, have plenty of much newer stuff because by contractual obligation, I have to create a few dramas every year for the amusement of my coworkers. They'd quit if I didn't do that. Anyway, if you want to buy the tapes that I have, I'm happy to sell them to you.
What a dick. What a goddamn dick. If I'm that guy behind the camera...
You're that guy...
I'd have to lighten it up. I'd have to. I don't know what I would do to survive working with such a goddamn cocksucker.
Sucks.
It's unbelievable to me that the guy
fucking
still has
Bill
a job.
O'Reilly sucks.
If I were to go into my office on Tuesday and start yelling and ranting like that,
yeah,
I wouldn't be back in on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Why does this cocksucker get away with it? Is what I want to know.
Yeah, but look at the guy, man. He's got like bajillion ratings.
I don't get that.
What do you mean you don't get it? You got to be such a fucking scumbag to get those kind of ratings. Look at him and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity. All these scummy, slimy, scurvy pieces of fucking garbage.
Scurvy.
Or is it scurvy?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But they're slimy. How can they look at themselves in the mirror every day? They're so full of shit. And I don't know how they believe have... Because I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh, and he was talking about somebody called in about solar energy. And they said, you know, somebody asked him, is it really... Now, they asked Rush Limbaugh, you know, a known scientist... Is it possible that if I had alternative energy or solar panels on my house, could it turn my electric meter backwards? He said, that's impossible. No, that's impossible. It's impossible. I had solar panels. You can't do that. Well, as a matter of fact, you can. And as a matter of fact, if you do have solar panels, like if you're living in Arizona or California, you can afford solar panels, you will get paid back from the electric company.
Nice.
He's wrong.
Limballs.
But all those people that heard him believe all that bullshit. And he actually looks in the mirror every day, that drug addict piece of fucking fat piece of shit, just like Falafel Bill, those cock-sucking, bullshit-mongering, war-mongering cock-smokers who had never been in combat, who had never been anywhere near a war zone, except maybe reporting on it, but from some safe area. What the fuck do they know? But then there's a bunch of people that listen to that shit because they're so convincing, because they tug at those heartstrings.
Well, who knows why they convince these people? And it doesn't really bother me at all. I mean, the thing that bothers me is it tends to be the majority of the people buy into this shit. If it was 25% of the people, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. Give it.
I don't think it's the majority, Scott.
I think it is the majority.
I don't think so.
How does the W get in office then, John? Tell me that.
Okay, the majority by what? We know 50% of the vote went to the W. But at the time, as far as 2004, it was because of all this rhetoric about the terrorists and this and that, scaring people into it. But before that, it was the Supreme Court that voted him in. And Al Gore was like the only other candidate that they could vote in. And he was kind of a robot and kind of an idiot looking guy. So 50-50. But it wasn't like the majority. It wasn't like a 60% majority listens to this shit. There was people on the fence. Yeah, maybe this guy will be better. You know, he seems more charismatic than this robotic Gore.
Yeah,
but then the rest were scared into it in 2004.
I guess what sends me over the edge currently is you see this video footage from these West Virginia voters that are leaving the polls after Hillary trounced on Obama.
Yeah.
And this shit they're saying, I mean, Jesus Christ, can we just like annex West Virginia somewhere else?
Right.
And send them somewhere to not be a part of this great country?
Well, before we get into
Hillary, them dopes.
Let's listen to Bill O talk about his
combat.
Great combat experience.
Combat experience,
all right?
Bill O.
But I tell you what, I've been in combat. I've seen it. I've been close to it. And if my unit is in danger and I got a captured guy and the guy knows where the enemy is and I'm looking him in the eye, the guy better tell me. That's all I'm going to tell you. If it's life or death, he's going first. Roger, Portland, Oregon. What say you, Roger?
Yeah, hey, Bill. Bill, first things first. You just said that you've been in combat, but you've never been in the military, have you?
No, I have not.
Then why do you say you've been in combat?
Why do I say that, Roger? Because I was in the middle of a couple of firefights in South and Central America.
But you were a media guy.
Yeah, a media guy with a pen, not a gun. And people were shooting at me, Roger.
Because people might think that you actually were in the military.
Oh, we don't want to mislead anybody, but I made it quite clear in many, many circumstances. Yeah. Hey, listen, Roger, you know what? You can take your little fair and balanced snip remark and shove it, okay? You're not getting on this air. And you, Mr. Macho Man, would have never come close to anything that I've done down where I've been, okay? So take a walk and...
what a douche.
Enough.
What a
dick. Oh, my God.
If you listen back
Macho
to the story,
Man.
His unit,
yeah.
It's his unit, like he's commanding it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to tell the story about capturing some guy, like his unit is going to capture somebody, and the guy better tell me, because he's going to look me in the eye.
Or else.
Give me a fucking break. This guy was running around with a pen and a paper, probably shitting in his pants, right. Trying to get as far away from guns as he could. And he's going to be Mr. Macho.
Fucking
what
baby.
What a douche.
Anyways, earlier this week, Hillary was being interviewed. I can't remember by who, but it doesn't matter. She talked a little bit about staying in the race, and this interviewer was asking her, "Why are you staying in all the way till June? You know, to the convention?" And here's what she had to say:
There has been this urgency to end this, and you know, historically that makes no sense. So I find it a bit of a mystery.
You don't buy the party unity argument.
I don't, because again, I've been around long enough. Now, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June, right? We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California. I don't understand it. And, you know, there's lots of speculation about why it is.
What the fuck is she saying, man?
You know, on one hand,
what is she saying?
On one hand, she's admitting defeat. I've been defeated, but I'm sticking around just in case.
Just in case Barack gets assassinated,
right. Because we've seen that before.
That's the way
with Bobby Kennedy.
That's the way I interpret that. How else can you interpret that?
I don't know, and it's just so.
She came out and apologized later to the Kennedy family.
Yeah,
it's not the Barack or anything, but every single pundit, like I said, Keith Olbermann goes off for about 10 minutes on this whole thing. But what else could you possibly be thinking when you're saying that?
Is it wishful thinking? Who knows? I don't know.
Oh.
And for her to say something like that, and the only other fanatics I can think of that are worse than political fanatics are religious fanatics. But you do have this political fringe that will take that and twist it into like, oh, she's talking directly to me. I need to do this. She's giving me orders. You know, they're totally fucked up. So she's pretty much sanctioned this assassination. It's
right.
We're goddamn ridiculous. Ridiculous. I can't believe it. She's done. Just quit already.
Well, you know, Rachel Maddow. There's Rachel Maddow, who's like a liberal. She's a talk show host on Air America Radio. She kind of predicted this mentality from Hillary months ago, and people thought, "Yeah, you're fucking crazy." And she was recently on CNN or something and brought it up and said, "Hey, I said this months ago that this was going to happen."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And speaking of CNN, let's go to Fox News. Here's some people talking on Fox News about this incident, and they're joking about it like it's funny. Like, this kind of shit is okay. Listen to this.
And now we have what some are reading as a suggestion that somebody knock off Obama. Well, both, we could.
Well, that was, well, you know, talk about how you really feel. But do you really think?
Both?
Yeah, both if we could.
Oh, my God.
What is this fucking country coming to?
Well, why isn't she in prison is what I want to know.
I know.
It's because if you and I made comments like that.
Oh, my God.
We'd be done. Our careers would be over. We'd be done.
What is that shit, man? That is unbelievable. Unfucking believable, Scott. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And it just goes to show you that news is corporate. It's corporate. It's and it all seems to be trying to protect the Republican Party, which I don't get. How could you protect the Republican Party? Don't you feel embarrassed about that?
Yeah.
These people are fucking idiots. Who knows? Maybe it's the same for Democrats. I don't know.
Well, you know, it is. It is the same for Democrats to a certain extent. There's Republicans that are real Republicans, like a Chuck Hagel or what's this other guy? Ron Paul, okay? And okay, like you said, he's totally done it for you when he says he's into evolution.
He doesn't believe. He does not believe in evolution.
Yeah. Doesn't believe in evolution. But that's a guy you can debate with on the issues. And then there's this evolution thing. But I don't think he would be pressing creationism in the schools, because being a Republican, a true Republican, he's against public schools. He's more towards vouchers and all that shit for private school. But anyway, a true Republican, you could actually have a debate with. A true Democrat could have a debate with. Not some really crazy left-wing, tree-hugging, not rational, not reasonable person. Same thing goes on the right side. But the W and these neocons are way beyond the right. They're not even right anymore. They're in some fucking planetary or interstellar whack job state. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, John. Unbelievable.
It's fucked up.
It's totally fucked up.
You got some clips here. You got the W golf. We're going to go to the W?
Yeah, let's go to the W.
This is where we go to the W clips. Every week, got to shock the monkey, Scott.
The W. His wisdom, we're going to hear from the W. A great leader in his own mind.
Great leader.
Here's where he admits that, yes, he's going to sacrifice, just like the troops. Go ahead.
I haven't been golfing in recent years. Is that related to Iraq?
Yeah, it really is. I don't want some mom whose son may have recently died to see the commander-in-chief playing golf.
There you go.
Thanks, W. So
and then he lied about it.
Yeah.
So he said he gave up golf after this specific incident, but then there's video of him playing golf like 2 months later. Dude, a dope. Just keep playing golf, you stupid ass. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
We know you're not serious, you joke.
Just take a look at the watch his drive.
Yeah.
That's what he says in that Michael Moore movie.
Yeah, what a dick. Goddamn dick.
You got a part two here.
I do?
Yeah, W Golf 2.
All right, let's see what he says.
Well, I owe it to the families to be as, you know, to be in solidarity as best as I can with them. And I think, you know, playing golf during a war, it just sends the wrong signal.
It's not the American.
Right.
It's not the way America is all about.
What sends the right signal? Vacationing more than any other president? Is that what sends
the
right signal?
In history.
Dancing like an idiot when you're in other countries. That sends the right message. Tell me what sends the right message.
I don't know.
What's your fucking point?
It's goddamn nauseating.
Yeah, snosheating. Snosheating. Nauseating.
It is, man. It is. Oh. It is.
You got the W negotiate. What is this? Do you got anything written down?
W negotiate.
You gave me no instructions here.
Just go ahead and play this. We'll comment afterwards.
I have nothing.
Go ahead, play.
All right.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious
argument
will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We've heard this foolish delusion before. As Nazi tanks crossed into Poland in 1939.
Did he say cunts?
An American senator declared, "Lord, if I could only have talked to Hitler, all this might have been avoided."
Oh, my God.
I don't have the actual clip where he never names Obama. But Obama's
invoking him by Obama.
Right. He's going around, he's saying, hey, if I were president, I would negotiate with these guys.
Well, he's saying, yeah.
I would sanction them. I would do this. I would do that before I got to military action.
Right.
So the W gets all bent out of shape. He goes to Israel, and he makes these comments comparing Obama to Nazi appeasers. Is that what it is? Appeasers?
Yeah, Chamberlain was one of the Nazi appeasers.
And negotiating and appeasement
Czechoslovakia
are two completely different goddamn things. Appeasement means you're giving something to the Nazis. You're helping the Nazis. Negotiating isn't helping. It's negotiating. What a dumbass. This guy, and he supposedly got his degree in history, John, and he doesn't even know what the fuck this means. Obviously bought and paid for by W. Sr.
Well, some dumbass wrote it for him and said, here, read this. Yeah. This'll really get the people worked up.
Yeah, because he did.
And it will.
He did have a big word in there. That he,
argument?
Ingenious.
Oh, I thought he said argument.
Argument. Well, you got two big words in a row. He has trouble with those. Ingenious argument. What a dick.
Well, Chris Matthews went off on a right-wing radio talk show host and just fucking schooled this guy on appeasement, what it means.
He did? I didn't hear that.
Oh,
do you have it?
I don't have it.
Oh.
I have the Biden-Bush appeasement.
Biden-Bush appeasement?
The audio you left for me.
Oh, this is rough audio. Yeah. But basically, he's calling him a chimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is malarkey. This is outrageous. Outrageous for the President of the United States to go to a foreign country, sit in the Knesset, and that's what I'm told. Now I got to make sure my facts are right. And in the Knesset, and make this kind of ridiculous statement.
Okay, next time.
Yeah, his facts were right. And it is.
Tell me the audio is that fucking bad.
It's not outrageous. It's incompetent and it's stupid. And that's what it is. And it's an embarrassment. The W is embarrassing, is what he's trying to say. That's
right.
What outrageous encompasses. I'm telling you, that's what he meant.
I got the clip from
I wanted to do a little history check on you because the president's referring to history. He attacked those who would imitate Senator William Boer of Idaho, who was a Republican isolationist back in the late 30s, who supported whatever, some notion of getting along with Hitler better. Let me ask you, what did Chamberlain do wrong, Neville Chamberlain, do wrong in 1939? What did he do wrong?
It all goes back to appeasement.
No, what did he do? Tell me what he did.
It's the key term.
You have to answer this question.
He goes, what did he do? It's the same thing. It puts it all, it's talking about appeasement.
What did Chamberlain do wrong?
His actions enabled, energized, legitimized. It's the exact same.
I'm not going to continue with this interview unless you answer what that thing is. What did Chamberlain do in 39? Tell me.
Chris, it's the exact same thing. All right?
What did he do? What did he do?
What? 38, 39, Chris? What year do you want? It doesn't. It's the exact same thing that happened, Chris.
What did Chamberlain
do? He's talking about appeasement.
Fuck it. I can't do it.
What did Chamberlain do? Just tell me what he did, Kevin. What did Chamberlain do you didn't like?
Look.
What did he do?
What the president was talking about? You just said the president was talking about Barack. Look,
you're making a reference to the days before our involvement in World War II when the war in Europe began. I want you to tell me as an expert, what did Chamberlain do wrong?
Look, you're not going to box me in here, Chris. President Bush was making that. He was an appeaser, Chris. He was an appeaser, and it energized,
You're about a very critical point in American history and European history, and you can't tell me what Neville Chamberlain did at Munich. What did he do in 38?
I wasn't the one that raised the Hitler comment. My point is, what President Bush has done, as he has taken this shot across
the
bow.
You don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
What do you know what I'm talking about?
Tell me what Chamberlain did wrong.
Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, Chris.
What did he do?
Chamberlain, Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser, all right?
What did he do?
Neville Chamberlain. His
say you don't know. Jesus Christ!
Energized, legitimized,
oh, and made energized, it easier for Hitler
to advance in the ways that he advanced.
What? Okay, and then, I'm sitting here for 5 minutes asking you to say.
Yeah,
what the
right on. It's about time.
In 1938 at Munich.
I don't know. What
there you go.
Thank you,
Chris. I don't know what the president. I don't know what the president was referring to when he talked about what was being said.
You don't know anything.
In 1939.
Well, that's obvious. You don't know what you're talking about. And the problem is, you don't understand there's a difference between talking to the enemy and appeasing. What Neville Chamberlain did wrong, most people would say, is not talking to Hitler, but giving him half of Czechoslovakia in 38. That's what he did wrong. Not talking to somebody.
Chris,
appeasement is giving away things to the enemy.
But Chris, you don't know what there's a difference
I got to go to somebody who knows some history. Mark Green, help him out with some history here.
Kevin, please.
This is pathetic.
Kevin,
he doesn't even know what Chamberlain did in Munich.
Kevin, when you're in a hole, stop digging. Chris, the reason that you exposed him...
I mean, he's as bad as the White House press secretary that doesn't even know what the Cuban Missile Crisis
was. Correct. The reason you exposed
him... We're talking
him,
with people with blank slates in terms of history.
President Bush and Kevin apparently are interested in... excuse me. What they're interested in...
Oh, shut that guy up already. You know, the one thing about Chris Matthews is he... I blame him.
I mean,
how long do you let that fucking go? Come on. Hang up on that guy. Just cut him off.
What did he do?
And again, I got nothing against Queer Search on. But it seems that these guys who...
Faggot school, Scott.
Who don't think that they're gay or whatever and think that God can make them not gay anymore become GOP spokespeople. You could hear it in his voice.
This guy was a fucking idiot. I couldn't believe he's sitting there. He's just sitting there, and all he wants, all Chris Matthews wants to know is what did Neville Chamberlain do?
Okay, so he can't
that's
answer.
Different.
It.
What did he do that encompasses appeasement, which is basically give half of Czechoslovakia away to Hitler? To say, hey, man, I'm going to give you half of Czechoslovakia. You need to chill out, dude. I'm going to give you this. You need to chill out. That's appeasement. The difference is Barack is talking about, hey, when I become president, I want to talk to all these people and find out what the fuck is going on with you people.
Yeah. I'm not going to give him half of Czechoslovakia. I just want to talk to
him. I'm not going
to
give him half of the U.S. I want to talk to him. And find out what your deal is. What is the problem? Why are you so pissed off?
Unbelievable.
And if we can't come to some sort of agreement, then we'll become aggressive. But other than that, we need to discuss this first. What's the problem? We're building nukes. Why are you building nukes? Well, because the W said we're part of the Axis of Evil. And they already invaded Iraq, so we think they're probably going to bomb us too. So we're creating some defense systems. Now, Amana Dinner Jacket is the biggest fucking whack job I've ever heard in my life, outside of the W.
Of course, outside of the W. And Pat Robertson.
But he is not.
And L. Ron Hubbard.
He does not. He's the president of Iran. But he is not, he cannot go beyond the Shah.
Yeah, the
Shah
runs the deal.
Runs everything.
Runs
he
the show.
Can't do anything without that guy.
It's a theocracy. Is that what they call it, John?
That's right.
It's run by the church.
So when Barack talks about having discussions, he's talking about, okay, this guy runs the country. He's like the manager. But he's not the president. He's not the true GM. He's not the general manager. He's just, well, he's more like a supervisor. You know,
he's
he gets shit
somewhere.
Done, but he can't execute any kind of war or any of that without the Shah. So Barack wants to get into talks. What's wrong with talking? That's not appeasement. Here's the fucking cocksmokers, the W, this cocksmoker. They don't even know what the word appeasement means. And they start just saying it all over the internet, the radio, the TV. wherever they can say it, this propaganda, catapulting the propaganda.
Right on, John.
And I'm sick of it, Scott.
Well, here's what I don't understand. You got 9/11. There's still some unanswered questions about 9/11. And the conspiracy theorists really make you and I look bad, John.
Right.
Because we just want to ask a question. But we're lumped into these other idiots.
Right.
And then you got Iraq. The whole falsification and the lies that got us in this war with Iraq, which is a goddamn joke. And guess what, John?
Joke.
All these problems in the world. It seems it all pales in comparison to the one man that it should matter most to, Senator Arlen Specter.
Right.
Who deems it necessary to use our tax dollars, that's you and me, John, to conduct a further investigation of the New England Patriots.
Oh, my. Are you fucking kidding me? This goddamn Spygate?
Yeah, Spygate.
Oh, no.
He wants to investigate.
Serious?
We have a NFL football, National Football League, New England filmed some other teams when they weren't supposed to. And he wants to spend our tax dollars investigating this.
Oh, my God. Why?
He should lose his job. They should drag him right out and,
dickhead.
Make him retire.
Oh,
unbelievable.
No.
You want to investigate something?
Investigate the W and Cheney.
You know what it is I think that once they start investigating, they would never stop, so they don't want to do it. It'd be like a 10-year job.
What were we talking about before the show? Talk about appeasement. Let's talk about Prescott Bush, the granddaddy of all the Bushes.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing that just nauseated me. Oh. Here's Bush, the W, running around screaming about appeasement. His whole family fortune is based on appeasement. It just makes me sick, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was a Nazi sympathizer.
And he made money off
him. Yeah, he made money off of him. He was part of the reason why they instated the Trading with the Enemy Act way back when.
Because of Prescott.
Because of Prescott.
Yeah, what a goddamn joke.
Where the fuck is this thing, man? I'm trying to find
the fuck,
Trading
man.
With the Enemy.
Well, yeah, I give you a quick one while you're looking.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this, but the W signs S.1858. Do you know what that is?
No.
American citizens are now officially exposed to genetic testing,
surveillance,
and research without their knowledge or consent.
Great.
Isn't that great? Thanks, W. That's what I love. I love to hear that. What a douche.
What a fuck suck.
Yeah, but when it comes to stem cells, oh, no, we can't do that. But, yeah, genetic test people without their knowledge? Yeah, go ahead and do that. I don't care. What a cockwit.
Here's the connection with Prescott Bush. Harriman Bank was the main Wall Street partner for several German companies and the varied U.S. financial interest of Fritz Thyssen. Thyssen had been an early financial backer of the Nazi Party, but by 1939 was bitterly denouncing Hitler and had fled Germany. He was later jailed by the Nazis for his opposition of the Nazi regime. Business transactions with Germany were not illegal under Hitler declared war on the United States on December 11th, 1941. But 6 days after... 6 days. I'm a little drunk, man.
No,
after
really?
After the attack on Pearl Harbor... President Delano Roosevelt signed the Trading with the Enemy Act after it had been made public that U.S. companies were doing business with the declared enemy of the United States. On October 20, 1942, the U.S. government ordered the seizure of German banking operations in New York City. Roosevelt's alien property custodian Leo T. Crowley signed vesting order number 248, seizing property under the Trading with the Enemy Act. The order cited only the Union Banking Corporation, of which Bush was a director and held only one share. Fox News has reports on recently declassified material about the issue, according to a document signed by Homer Jones, chief of the Division of Investigation and Research on the Office of Alien Property Custodian, a World War II era agency. By 1941, Tyson no longer had control over his business empire, which was in the hands of the Nazi government.
Nice.
So I'm not exactly sure what this all says, but
me neither.
It looks like part of the reason why they passed this, the Trading with the Enemy Act, was partially because of the Fritz Tyson and Prescott Bush link.
Right. Right on. Paul Smoker.
Yeah.
Cocksucker. All male Yale cheerleader.
Yeah.
Lead cheerleader, captain.
6 days after cheerleading the attack on Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt signed the Trading with the Enemy Act. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, John, I'm going to give you reasons.
Bush was director.
I'm going to give you reasons. I'm sorry, director of what?
Of the Union Banking.
I'm going to give you reasons for, yeah, to vote for John McCain.
Whoa.
Okay. I'll get the door after this. I'm going to give you reasons right now to vote for John McCain.
All right.
McCain's past hatred for the W. As Time reported in March 2000, McCain then showed a visceral disgust towards W and his scorched earth campaign. But many close to McCain advisors think the personal rift between the two men is too wide to bridge.
Did you say roof?
Rift. At least in the near future. After all, the last time the W tried to smooth things over at a South Carolina debate, the result was less than promising.
Were you laughing at me before?
During a commercial break, W grasped McCain's hand and made a sugary plea for less acrimony in their campaign. When McCain pointed out that Bush's allies were savaging him in direct mail and phone campaigns, Bush played the innocent. Don't give me that shit, McCain growled, pulling away, and take your hands off me. I sound like the W. I got to work on my McCain.
Yeah. It's a lot of ish. You got to talk like this.
So,
straight talk is
fresh. So is there enough animosity there that if he got in, he would use all his resources to go after the W?
Well, here's the thing, and this is, like I said before, I would totally vote for the guy because he is, I don't know.
A dope. He's almost dimmer than the W, if you ask me.
I know. I agree with that. But back years ago, the W just really slammed this guy as a fucking lunatic because, what was it, in the 2000, the race in 2000, he slammed McCain as being a whack job because he was a POW.
And he was in a box for 5 years.
That he wasn't fit to be the president.
Right.
And, I mean, that really pissed McCain off. I mean, and he became what's known as a maverick, which means he didn't always side with the neocons on a lot of stuff. And, I thought that was kind of cool, and I sent him an email once about the Downing Street memos regarding this whole trumped up shit to create this evidence to go to war with Iraq. And he sent me a letter. I don't have the letter on me, but I have a formal letter back from McCain's office, stating that, yeah, fuck you, you're a fucking idiot for believing that shit. There is no evidence to, you know, that says that actually that shit went down, which there is. And I was kind of pissed that he didn't, like, acknowledge that. So as time went on and he's running for office, he starts embracing the W. He starts embracing some of these neocon philosophies, and he's totally flip-flopping on a lot of these issues that he talked about that he was against in the beginning.
Well, I think it's apparent to everybody that that's because he's so into being the president.
Yeah.
He'll do or say whatever just needs
like
to be said.
Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And the two of them are exactly the same. They're exactly alike in my book. Barack, on the other hand, is like he's on the fringe. And he's saying, fuck all that shit. I've had it with it. I've had it. Yeah, there's some political hugging I got to do. I got to do this sucking up to some politicians, but I'm not going to go that route that those other two clowns are going.
Right.
Status quo, same old shit. Same shit just reheated. That kind of crap.
Well, when you talk about McCain coming around for the W, on the W side now. When there was so much animosity between them.
Yeah.
This other guy came out this week, and he spent the 4th of July weekend in 1999 with McCain at his vacation home in Sedona. Yeah. So he goes on to say, always the good host, the McCains also invited us to spend the day with them, including a barbecue, a favorite of John's. And as McCain flipped burgers, I could not help but ask his views about the candidate, George W. Bush. He's as dumb as a stump, McCain offered. He then went on to discuss other matters, including Vietnam, but that quote remains seared in my memory. So how the McCains actually voted that November is between them and their voting booth, but if McCain did end up voting for Bush, then by his own admission, he voted for a stump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these people will say or do whatever they need to do to get into office, and it's really despicable to me.
It is.
And they have no idea,
no
value
integrity
of the history of America and integrity in the Constitution and what that represents.
No moral compass, nothing.
Nothing.
It's all a sideshow. It's like the greatest show on earth. It's circus. It's a bunch of shit. And no wonder there's all these libertarians and stuff coming out that says, you know what, we don't want any government anymore, because it's a joke. This entire country is a joke.
Well, historically, hopefully that it'll turn around with whoever gets voted in the election. I know who I'm going to vote for. Hopefully it'll turn around, because when you look back on history, if it doesn't turn around, we really need to move to another country. And I'm serious about that, because this one's going down the shitter.
Who are you voting for?
I'll tell you after. Before. Maybe
after,
I'll tell
after?
You before. After, after.
It's none of my business.
I think it's pretty well known who I'm going to vote for.
I don't know.
All right.
I know.
Hillary's out of it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
There's no way she can, unless she's like a prophet in Obama really is going to be assassinated. Hillary is gone.
She's
so it's going to
done.
Be between Obama and McCain. The other interesting thing that'll come out is who they're going to pick for their running mates.
Yeah. My pick myself would be Jim Webb.
Jim
for,
Webb.
Barack.
For Barack. Is
yeah.
he even consideration, Jim Webb?
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Who do you think McCain will pick? Romney?
Romney or I don't think
you
Huckabee.
You can't pick Romney. You can't pick either of those idiots. There's just no way. Have you ever read the history of the of Mormons? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll do that. Whenever he announces his VP, if it is Romney, we'll do a reading of the history of the Book of Mormon to show
well,
you what Mitt Romney
he's
believes
He's got some
in.
Governors and stuff he's been looking at, but I doubt it'll be Romney.
Well, you know, Ron
he's
Paul is still in the race, and he's
yeah.
gaining momentum.
Yeah.
And I hope he becomes like the Ralph Nader of the Democratic Party on the Republican side, where he splits the vote. But who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
Right,
I don't
right.
know.
Well, the reason why I want Jim Webb is because a couple of reasons. One, he's a highly decorated Vietnam vet. He has a son in the Iraq War. Okay.
Okay.
And he's a junior senator out of Virginia.
A junior senator. Virginia.
And
he's an evolutionary kind of guy.
He snubbed the president, the W.
Who wouldn't snub the W?
He snubbed him big time. On November 28th, 2006, at a White House reception for those newly elected to Congress, Webb declined to stand in line and have his picture taken with the president, whom Webb often criticized during his campaign. The president approached Webb later on and asked him, "How's your boy?" referring to Webb's son, a Marine serving in Iraq. According to Congressman Jim Moran.
Come on, man. Spit it
Moran
out.
Moran of Virginia.
Moran.
Aides warned the president to be extra sensitive about talking to Webb about his son, since Webb's son had been recent brush with death in Iraq. Webb replied, "I'd like to get him back out of Iraq, Mr. President." Bush responded, "That's not what I asked you. How's your boy?" Webb responded, "That's between me and my boy, Mr. President." The Hill cited an anonymous source who claimed that Webb was so angered by the exchange that he confessed he was tempted to slug the president, but of course did not. Webb later remarked in an interview, "I'm not particularly interested in having a picture of me and President George W. Bush on my wall."
Yeah, and if he did slug the W, PETA would be all over him, right? Cruelty to chimps or some shit like that. That wouldn't be nice.
But anyways, if it were me, and they said, "Hey, man, John of Total Talk Nonsense, John and Scott, who would you pick for VP with Barack Obama, a running mate?"
You're Don't laugh at me.
Don't laugh at me, man.
All right, man.
I would pick Jim Webb because he wanted to fucking slug the W. And I've heard him speak, and he's fucking intelligent, that dude.
Who would want to slug the W?
He's like got 37 bronze medals, man, and silver stars and shit.
Here's the thing about
the Navy Cross, this guy. He is a fucking true hero, not that cock-sucking weenie ball. AWOL.
National Guard. Daddy, get me out of it. I can't handle it.
Or Cheney. Who is, I got a better thing to do. How about that?
I don't know what would be more aggravating than have to work with the W on a daily basis. To combine the arrogance with the incompetence is really one of my pet peeves. It would just drive me fucking insane.
Insane.
I don't think I would last long.
And if you listen to Obama speak, man.
I have.
This guy is unbelievable, man. He just, did you see him with his 75,000 people?
I did not, but I
Oregon?
Heard about it.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. It was like a rock concert.
I'm going to get the doorbell. Hold on.
All right.
Here I go.
Are you going?
I've had it with goddamn doorbell. Well, let me go get it. Jesus Christ.
What is up?
Will you just give this guy a key?
I don't know. No, I'm not giving him a key.
Man, what's happening?
Are you insane?
All right, I'm back.
That's pretty quick, man.
I am pretty quick.
He got his shit together.
Did he bring his headphones? Yeah, he's got his headphones. He's plugging them in right now. Don't unmute him yet. He's still getting squared away.
Should I give him the shitty mic or the good one?
Whatever. I don't care. You ready to turn it over to Phil?
I'm ready.
Whenever he's
ready.
I
need a nap.
Oh, I'm ready when you're ready. It's good to see you, gentlemen. After a 2-week layoff. Actually, before I get started with my news, I brought in an audio clip.
Let me get your levels.
Of course, get my levels. There you go.
There we go.
Before we get to my groundbreaking news, award-winning, as John would say.
Uh-oh.
I did bring in a clip. Now, this clip is a woman I used to work with back in the day.
That's got to be that cable.
And,
what's her name?
Sue Simmons is her name.
You know
her? Sue Simmons, yes, I know her very well. We worked together for a long time. She's been a fixture in L.A. News.
All right.
And I just brought this clip in because she had a little slip-up while you two gentlemen were on vacation.
All right.
And I wanted to share it with you. Go ahead and play that clip.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
What the hell? Wait a minute. Let me play that again.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The fuck are you doing?
Is there a video of that?
Yes, I believe there's video.
Oh,
she wasn't aware that she was still on air. She thought that they had cut away. And Sue Simmons, yes.
Wow.
From what I remember, very vulgar. Talked worse than a sailor. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
And caught on camera.
Wow.
Saying, what the fuck are you doing? All right, John, I'm ready when you're ready.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, child.
You're for sure tonight. MILFs outraged by racy book at store. That's right, John. Marcy MILFs went to Urban Outfitters to find clothes for her teenage son. She was surprised to find sexually charged books that she believes have no place at a clothing store for teens and young adults. On one end of the spectrum was Porn for Women, a photo book showing men doing housework. On the other was Pornogami, a guide to the American art of paper folding for adults. When I saw it, I was shocked, MILFs said. MILFs was so appalled that she was prepared to file a complaint with the city of Linwood and has already aired her frustrations to state separate
frustrations
to state representative Norma Smith.
Phil,
she also
been
called
drinking.
Urban Outfitters corporate office in Philadelphia. They said they're not sex books or pornography books, but they're art books, and their goal is to support artists, MILFs said. Urban Outfitters declined to comment on MILFs' concerns. Next story, John. This just in. Nine out of 10 doctors agree, John. President W. has his head stuck up his ass. Next story, John.
You right there.
Yeah, yeah. Add to the list of things to do after you die. This is add to that list.
All right.
After you die.
I'm ready.
Become a bong for three high school stoners.
Okay.
From the Houston Chronicle. According to documents filed in a case, Gonzalez Jones and an unnamed juvenile on March 15th went to a humble cemetery, dug up a man's grave, left with the head, and turned it into a bong.
What?
The Kingwood teenager story of decapitation of corpse and using the head to smoke marijuana was so outlandish that at first Houston Police Department senior officer Jim Adkins did not believe it. Jones claimed he and his friends used shovels to dig up the body and remove the corpse's head with a garden tool. Jones also revealed that he and two other boys took the severed head to a juvenile's home where they used the skull as a bong to smoke marijuana.
Check it out.
All three boys who are homeschooled have also been charged in connection with vehicle break-ins. Jones and the juvenile are charged with credit card abuse, while Gonzalez was charged with a misdemeanor theft of $50 to $500. Next story, John.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
Hidden snapper bags bottoms. Hidden snapper bags bottoms. A man who allegedly photographed more than 3,000 women's asses as they toured Venice, has been arrested. The man was stopped after the police made some of a large bag. As he followed women through St. Mark's Square. He has been charged with infringement of privacy.
Did you say
it's a cheeky crime, which could earn this 38-year-old Italian from 6 months to 4 months in jail.
This is serious, John.
As police video shows a man in jeans and hooded top walking behind women. He is trying to position his black hold-all case close to their legs. Police said he was filming through a small hole in the side of a bag. The officers had become suspicious when they realized he was only following women with short skirts. When they stopped or bent down to pick something up, he was clearly trying to angle the bag behind them. When the voyeur was finally caught, police recovered several DVDs, which held more than 3,000 images of police, I'm sorry, of women's bottoms. He confessed to police he had been filming in and around St. Mark's Square for nearly 2 years. Police have refused to name him, but Mario Marina of Venice Police said he is married with two young children and has a professional job in the nearby town of Puadawawa. He might have some explaining to do when he finally gets home. So next story, John.
Explaining.
Bibles to be delivered with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's right, John. Bibles to be delivered with a newspaper, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's about time, if you ask me. Atheists have been delivering nothing with every newspaper in America for decades.
Wow.
Next story, John. A Fort Worth man trying to scratch an itch on his back used a revolver and accidentally shot himself. A Fort Worth man tried to scratch an itch, shot himself. Jorge Espinol, 44, was drinking beer and playing poker around 3 a.m. And like we said, John, nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
No.
Sunday,
we're getting close to that.
3500 block of Montauk Street when he got up from the table and walked into another room. He told officers he had an itch on his back and grabbed the first thing he could get a hold of, which was a revolver. The gun went off. Mr. Espinola went back and told his buddies that he had shot himself, and they didn't believe him until they saw the blood coming down his back. Mr. Espinola was taken to an area hospital where he has been treated and released with non-life-threatening injuries. Next story, John. Fox News manager caught in XXX theater doing the circle jerk. A general manager of WTVT, Channel 13 in Tampa, was arrested Friday night in an adult video store on charges of exposure and of his sexual organ and of lewd and lascivious behavior. Next page. Robert Linger, 49, was one of six men arrested by undercover officers. According to the arrest reports, the six men formed a circle around the undercover officers inside the theater and began masturbating. Fox 13 News reported the arrest on its website, stating that they were aware of the matter and they are currently reviewing it. Fantasyland has a full-screen theater with couches. There is a sign inside the theater that states, no sexual acts beyond this point. The theater is considered a public place. The men were each charged with exposure of sexual organs and lewd and lascivious acts. Both misdemeanors. They were taken to the Orient Road Jail. Next story time. Man wakes up from surgery to find a male hospital worker trying to give him mouth-to-penis resuscitation. A Miami Herald News reports that a hospital worker, Pedro Gonzalez, surrendered to Miami police on Wednesday after police say he performed oral sex on a male patient who was just waking up from amnesia following surgery. The alleged sexual assault victim was a patient at the hospital. Gonzalez attended to the victim after surgery and wheeled him from the recovery room to a standard room.
The recovery room?
And helped him onto bed. According to police, he began to perform oral sex on the patient, who pushed him away. The patient later told detectives that he thought he was coming of the effects. I'm sorry. He thought he was coming off the effects of the amnesia. He can ID the suspect, and he was aware of the act.
You need a cab.
The police report said Gonzalez came back into the room twice to check on him.
Oh, man.
After a nurse ignored his complaint, the patient called Miami Beach police. Next story, John. Next and last story. Alex Phillips, a 17-year-old Wisconsin teenager, has been arrested on felony charges of child pornography. He also faces charges of defamation and sexual exploitation of a child. Phillips posted naked photos of his ex-girlfriend on his MySpace account. When contacted by police about the two cell phone camera images of his 16-year-old ex, Phillips refused to take them down. When he was threatened with facing jail time for displaying naked photos of an underage girl, he responded, "Fuck that! I'm keeping them up!" Apparently, Phillips posted the photos sometime last week to vent. As for the photo captions, Phillips added below the photos, to one of the photos, "Yo, you see how big her hole is?
Oh, geez.
It's from me!"
Oh, my God.
And that's the news, John.
Oh, man.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Phil.
It's good to be back. Sorry to be. You know, it was a 2-week layoff, and you're going to Germany in the near future. If you'd like, I could put another best of together.
That'd be great.
But I've heard from many people that your best of was better
Who's
than mine.
Who's your?
Your, John. Your miscellaneous show
Who
was
said
better
that?
Than mine. Oh, I've heard it. You know, I'm an active participant of the forum.
Yeah.
Although I don't have an account, I do like to go out and read forum posts. It's part of my job. I am
All
a
right.
newsman.
Yeah.
All right,
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to go.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Bye-bye.
I don't know if you know this, but I was a Marine.
No.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
So tomorrow is
a Marine Marine biologist?
Fuck off.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa.
What?
What was up with
he's
him?
He's upset.
Subset. Yeah, he's upset.
Just to let you know, we've reached 3 hours. This show has officially gone over the 3-hour mark.
This is the first time in TTN history,
first
I believe.
For three hours.
1:32, the 3-hour
It is
hour
like
show.
5 minutes to midnight.
Well, we did have 2 weeks off.
And I'm blasted.
And I did have to take 2 breaks. And you are blasted.
Yeah.
And you did try to read. I mean, that'll really slow things down.
Shut up. I did try to read. Like you, listen to you.
Yeah, listen to me. I'm very coherent. All right?
I'm very...
Ingenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ingenue dingy. He entered the dinghy room. Whatever.
Whatever. All Whatever. Right, so you're going to Germany.
Yeah.
All right, so this week we're going to have 2 practices.
Yeah.
Then you're going to Germany.
Germany.
The day after you get back from Germany,
yeah,
we're doing a
gig.
Block party.
And then a show.
And then a show.
A show.
You're going to be able to handle that?
Oh,
jet
yeah.
lag and all?
I can handle it, man.
All right, then.
I'm like Superman.
All right, let's come to a close.
Let's come to it.
Come to a close.
Yeah.
New Camber. Episode 132.
Yeah, we're out of here.
32,
Three.
Is that right?
33.
133.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott. A Total Talk Nonsense.